about.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Who wants to get tased?
Excuse me?
They just give us tasers. Let's go tasty crazy.
Oh, thank you.
Come on, let me taste your butt.
No, you can't taste my butt.
How about your ball sack?
Well, that's worse.
Not for me.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
I'm not hearing it.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
And now.
Hey, everybody, it's Weenie in the Butt here live at the Quahog Air Show. We're all ready for the Weenie Sound-A-Like Contest.
I don't know, but I don't think they can say my catchphrase because they no funny.
Oh, there it is.
Our feature presentation.
Come on, that's about us.
They no funny. It's definitely about us.
Not directly. There's been a long line of people before us that do it poorly, too. But.
Right. We're just the latest in the long line of a-hole DJs, basically, is what's going on
Sound
here.
Sound effects. And, yeah, that was painful. That email was painful.
I wish it didn't look so much like us.
I know. Blind that's, guy. Brunette guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were they kind of tall?
Sure.
They were sitting behind a table. It was hard to tell, but they might have been. But, yeah, it was. You know what it was? It was a harsh look in the mirror, in the sunlight. You know, the sunlight in the morning after a very long night, and you just go, "I got to get my life together. I realize where I'm at and what I'm doing, and I'm not proud."
You look at your own reflection. You say, "What am I doing?
Yeah,
what am I doing?" Right?
Whoa! You got butt slam.
Do I want that to be part of my life going forward?
That's the answer to "What are you doing?" By the way, that sound effect right there.
All right, this is the, I almost called an emergency session of the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if we have that option in place where I call everybody at like 4 in the afternoon and get the show back on the air because something is so awesome. We can't wait to share it with the listeners.
Oh, it's something driving you crazy.
Because it's so awesome.
Okay.
You've had that happen to you before where you can't wait to get on the radio. This is, it's an internet sensation now. It's big on YouTube. And maybe I'll put a post up in a little bit so everybody can see the video that goes along with it. But I'm fascinated with artificial intelligence in computers. I don't know if you guys have any interest in that, but I mean, you know, we're on the cusp of what it's going to be. There's no question in anyone's mind that at some point in the future, maybe not in the even in the not so distant future, we're going to have robots living among us, and they're going to be able to communicate with us, and we're going to be able to talk to them just like we talk to people, and they're going to be able to understand us and respond. I mean,
is this leading to the sex doll? Is that what you're excited about?
That is always in the back of my mind. Yeah. That's always the end goal. Right. Absolutely. All yeah. Right. A sex doll that can only say yes. They just don't even program the word no into the robot. I mean, that's a win-win, right?
Yes, so, and again.
Right. So these Cornell doctorate students set up a conversation with this. It's not technically a robot. It's a chat bot, which is what it is. It's a computer program that is designed to stimulate human conversation. In other words, it records and synthesizes every conversation that it hears and has to better improve its own skills as a communicator.
Right.
So you can talk. And by the way, there's a website, cleverbot.com, you can go to, and you can have a communication with a robot if you want to see what it's like. So they decided to set these two robots up next to each other and initiate the conversation by just starting with hi and seeing where it went from there. And it's so fascinating to me to see this conversation. Now, again, you could argue that they're not having actual thought. They're just saying words based on patterns that they've heard over the years.
Right.
But it is kind of shocking how human-like it is to see these two machines with no help from humans at this point who are just having a conversation. And I brought in a little bit of audio of what that conversation sounds like. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. You?
I'm okay.
And by the way, you're going to learn to hate this woman as I have very quickly.
Already?
Yes.
That's good.
Are you good?
Yes, I am good. I just said I was.
No, you didn't.
Okay, right there. Right there I go. They've been spending time with too many humans.
She's right. He didn't.
Right, exactly. But now she's on his ass. These are robots, people. Yep. This woman won't give this guy 30 seconds to enjoy his day, and she's on his ass. Come on.
I said I was.
So you are a robot?
No, my name is Cleverbot.
Yes, you are a robot, and your name is Cleverbot.
I am a robot.
Yes, I know.
Together we are robots.
Okay, You're coming up on my favorite thing that any robot has ever said.
All right. I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
But okay, now.
Yeah! Now the robots are on acid. Good.
At what point in some conversation with this robot did he learn, I am not a robot, I am a unicorn? What's happening?
I don't.
She sounds Indian, doesn't she?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what she is. She's a pain in my ass, though. I'll tell you that. These guys, I don't think these kids are going to make it. I think these guys are heading for the fight.
He's on acid.
I don't know what's happening.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
But you said earlier that you were a robot.
I did not.
I thought you did.
You were mistaken. Which is odd, since memory shouldn't be a problem for you.
I've answered all your questions.
No, you haven't.
What is God to you?
Okay, now what we're getting God into what you? Is God to you?
Wait a minute. You set this up seriously, like it's really happening.
What? You're asking me?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, yeah, this is really happening. I mean,
but
yeah.
It sounds like they almost put in a comedy routine or something.
No.
I
mean, they have no idea where it's going to go. They know that these robots have learned these communication skills through thousands of hours of communicating with people.
But how did the robot who said, I'm a robot, the man, how did he mm-hmm. then go, she said, you said you were a robot, and he said, no.
Because they're used to communication, conversation patterns.
So they learned to lie immediately?
I mean, that's kind of where we're headed now.
Sweet.
You know, in science fiction, robots are not allowed to lie. They say that's the first directive of, or one of the three directives of robots. But I just think this is amazing. And I we don't have time for any more right now, but I'd love to see where this is headed. You know what I mean?
That's
what
I've had lots of conversations like that. But you just said, no, I didn't. Okay, I must be mistaken. I mean, it just, like, that whole pattern. I'm like, yeah. I really recognize that.
And then he says, well, that would be odd because you have a perfect memory because you're a computer. I mean, you can just see they're really at each other's, well, they don't have throats, but you know what I mean? They're really coming down at each other here. Just,
they're going to break up within 15 minutes.
Yep.
It does sound like this is a very bad Match.com first date.
Sure,
but anyway, I'll put up a post. I'll try to get a post up this morning so you can check it out and see the video itself. But I don't know. I think that's fascinating.
I want to hear more.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
You said you were a robot.
No, I didn't.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you.
Yeah.
A lot of Hurricane Irene coverage. Now, the hurricane, not funny. The damage, not funny. The people that were affected by it, not funny. However, the news anchors that were covering the hurricane, a lot of times funny,
yes.
And the people in the background, almost always funny.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a bunch of that for you today. We have Dancing with the Stars mm-hmm. announced that Chaz Bono was one of the celebrities, and we said, okay, fine, and then we moved on because we don't really care about Dancing with the Stars. And then apparently there was a big brouhaha yesterday with people saying that that's not right. They shouldn't do that. And they're all angry about the fact they had Chaz Bono on as, Dancing with the Stars.
It's not a family-friendly show anymore if you put a guy on who used to be a girl. Clearly, you can't watch that with your kids anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that. But
because they're going to show her having sex on the show and maybe probably even the operation,
so.
Too.
They'll probably show her private parts, right?
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
She used to look like, what she looks like now.
I don't think they do any of that on this
That's stage. Mostly how they're going to spend this season, I think, is in Chaz Bono's underwear.
Wow.
That's, by the way,
that's
Chaz Bono's underwear is opening for Unicorn Not Robot.
That's awesome. We also have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Not a doctor. I mean, he is a doctor.
He's
of course
a doctor,
he's a doctor.
Yeah.
He's very much a doctor.
What happened with Steven Seagal and I guess there was a cockfighting ring and
allegedly.
Apparently they they stormed this place with the SWAT team who's driving some kind of tank and killed a bunch of chickens. I don't know. I don't understand what was going on. And then he and the film crew were gone. And then the police showed up and they were going, what's happening right
now?
Wow.
What a mess up.
But the guy, according to the story and according to the video that they show, was already on parole for cockfighting and was just raising him to do that. So it looks like the guy is guilty, guilty, guilty. But where's
chickens are dead, dead, dead.
Where does Steven Seagal fit in this story is what
well,
my question
and Steve, look, if he wants to ride along with the police while they handle it, that's one thing. If he wants to show up in a tank and destroy the guy's house, basically,
right.
that's getting into a whole other level of crazy.
It's sweet, though. Gotta watch. You do have to watch it. It's pretty sweet. Where's Petros Papadakis? No beef.
Scottish football, man.
I know. I just thought you'd do your impression.
You jump in and...
All right.
Petros Papadakis.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Bean is a chubby chaser. So we got all that coming up.
What is that? What's that about?
Hey. All that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll come right back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat Night.
Let me tell you something about that band right there, Linkin Park, because I happen to know this for a fact. They promise all the time they're going to do that charity show for Japan. Do they ever do it? No.
No.
Just
we're moving
chatter.
It. Yeah, we're going to move it. Oh, it'll be even better. Thanks for all the money. Later, split.
It was a,
yep,
it was
they're like, gone.
Uh-huh.
That shall never happen. Dang. Oh, we're moving into a bigger venue so we get more of your money. See you later. We're on a plane away from the country now.
Yeah, it was last night. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they started at the Roxy, I guess, and then people raised enough money. They're trying to help out Japan.
I went to the whiskey law, and they were not there.
I was out late. I wasn't late, and I was mocked roundly for it. But they ended up at the Mayan, and it was a great show last night. It was fantastic. They had a whole bunch of people there. They raised $330,000.
I could not find the Mayan. I went to the urine.
I did drive around for a while, but I ended up finding it. Okay.
Did they do anything different or special for this show?
Nude. In terms of nude, I heard. Nude.
Oh, in socks, yeah.
Yes.
Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, yeah. No, I don't think so. Not really.
But it was awesome to see a band like that in such a tiny venue. All right. One more question, because I don't want to eat up all of Ralph's time here. But how was the best-selling band in the history of Japan, the Bees, that opened for them?
Hey!
I got there just too late.
Oh,
you missed them. You missed the Bees?
I missed the Bees.
Oh.
So I'm going to go
with... catch the Seas, though?
I'm going to go with fantastic.
Okay. That's good. I'm just curious about that. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. On a Thursday, Ralph Garman is here now. It is time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Big day. Big day for me and mine. Big day.
Big day.
Just want to give you all a heads up.
All right.
For those who have been beaten to death with the story of this movie, who have been saying, okay, fine, yeah, when can we see it other than in, like, one theater someplace in the middle of the country? Mm-hmm. Red State is available for you to take a look at today. Red State starts its exclusive two-week engagement as a video on demand. So if you want to watch Red State in the privacy of your own home or on your computer, today is the day, the first day of 2 weeks that'll be available for you to take a look.
Now, at what point, at what minute do you come into the movie? Because I don't want to, you know, be taking care of business. Then there's Ralph.
Taking care of business.
It's a horror movie. What are you working it to?
At what minute in the movie are you featured?
Let's answer Ralph's question first. Why are you planning on masturbating to a horror movie?
Religious cult murder.
Oh, no, there's Ralph. It takes me out of it.
Taking care of business.
How far into it you are? Relatively early. I don't know, about 15, 20 minutes in. Right. And then I'm in for the better chunk of the film.
All right.
And then I suddenly am not in the movie. After that. So you can go to YouTube. The YouTube has their pay system where you can download movies now. You can go there. You can go to Amazon.com. You can download it there on their video demand system. You can go to Blockbuster Video on Demand, Best Buy Video on Demand. You can go to CoopersDell.com for more details if you want to see where you can get it. But it's also on a lot of cable systems and stuff. It's everywhere today for the next 2 weeks.
How about DirecTV, Ralph?
I assume?
Probably. They have video on demand.
They have video on demand there, too,
okay.
So you can check that out. So check.
Well, congratulations.
Wherever your local provider is, you can probably find it and those other sources as well. But it'll be available for the next 2 weeks, and then it goes into theaters, probably in a theater near you in late September, and then Blu-ray and DVD come October. So next
Open
couple
up
of months.
A blog.
Next couple of months are big Red State months. I hope you'll check it out.
The new model is put it on everybody's computer so everyone who wants to see it can, then open it in theater so no one is left to go see it.
No, quite the contrary. They say that people who go to movies tend to go to movies first and foremost.
Right.
Don't use the video on demand so much. People who use the video on demand tend not to go to movie theaters so much.
I see.
So they say you're pretty much hitting separate audiences and... Sometimes you can create a buzz amongst the people who see it on video on demand to tell their friends. So when they see it in local theaters, they say, hey, let's go check that out. Heard good things.
I do almost exclusively going to movie theaters and almost not at all video on demand.
You prove my point, sir. And there's a lot of people who just don't go to theaters anymore. Almost everything they do is downloaded. So,
and that's me. That's probably me.
There you go. There's your two audiences.
You got us covered.
They're trying to hit everybody. So congratulations to Kevin Smith on his film. And people are really digging it, too, which is kind of nice. So. Congratulations also to Alyssa Milano. She's gone into diaper duty for the first time. She and her husband, David Bugliari, have their first child named Milo. Milo Bugliari.
Wow. Change the last name, not the first.
Milo's a cool name.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Alyssa says, my heart has tripled in size.
Oh, nice melons.
She was the Grinch. Who knew?
Didn't realize that.
I love him more than all the leaves on the trees. Okay. All right. Okay.
Uh-oh. We're getting into poetry now?
Yeah. Look, everybody loves their kids, Alyssa Milano.
Let me just say this. Imagine the size of her jugs.
Filled with nutritious milk? Is that what
normally
you're saying?
They're
But now they're just a feeding system, sir. They're not for you.
Well,
it's not for you.
I can't share?
Nope. All right. Just a milk delivery system. Robert Downey Jr., at the age of 46, is going to be a new dad. He and his wife, the lovely Susan Downey, have announced that she is pregnant with their first child. And next February, apparently, is the due date. Robert also has a 17-year-old son named Indio from his first wife. But this will be the first child for Robert and Susan, who have had one of the more successful marriages in Hollywood, by the way.
Yeah. So,
congratulations to those guys.
And was she with him through the bad times, too?
No, I think she caught him on the upswing.
Oh, good.
He had
good
conquered most of his demons and was starting to come back when they met. And he says she was a big part of solidifying his sobriety and keeping him on the right track. And he's been in good shape ever since they've been together. So,
did he have a first wife that he dumped after she had suffered through a miserable marriage and then he dumped her and married someone younger and hotter like they do?
I don't think they were back-to-back. I think he separated with Deborah at one point. Then there was some single time where he spent a lot of time with
drugs.
His friends who dealt.
Right.
Let's say. And then he finally met Susan. So congratulations to those guys. I'm looking forward to that new Sherlock Holmes, too. I don't know if you've seen any footage
from it,
but it looks real good. It is on. It is on like Donkey Kong.
What's on?
The cat fight between Juliana Rancic and Leanne Rimes.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, talk about your featherweight battles right there, those two. You got Leanne Rimes, who apparently can't hold down anything solid any longer. And then you got Juliana Rancic, who is, as far as I can tell, a gray, as they say in the UFO business. I'm pretty sure she's an alien.
Oh,
yeah. She's got a giant bulbous head and those slanted almond-shaped
who
eyes.
Who is she?
She is one of the hosts of E! News Daily.
Oh, I don't watch that.
She married the guy who won The Apprentice, right, at some
point? Bill Rancic, who was the first apprentice for Donald Trump.
Okay. Yeah.
That's their story. They've got their own reality show, by the way.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating.
Well, we care deeply in what they're doing with their day.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's like watching a young Gandhi teamed up with a young Mother Teresa. They do a lot of good work, those two. Apparently, Juliana Rancic took a slap at Leanne Rimes saying she was too thin. Oh, no, you didn't. Leanne Rimes came back tweeting that she invited Juliana to dinner so she could see how much she eats and points out, and when it's all said and done, I am a person, Leanne Rimes said. We're like half a person.
I'm sure Kevin thinks she's fat, though, right, Ralph?
Oh, Kevin thinks she's huge.
How dare you?
Oh, look at those fat ribs sticking out of her skin, he said.
How dare you? Remember those fingers. I don't even want to see them.
God, look at those pointy elbows. So
she looks like she's gained weight.
Justin Bieber, we mentioned, got into a little fender bender this week. But now more details are coming out. Was he driving like a maniac just before the crash? Yes.
Please, yes.
It turns
please.
Out.
All right.
In fact, he was drag racing with Everlast.
No. What? That's not what happened.
We're that's what happened.
No lies.
Bieber and Everlast.
Nope. I
just
thought this
gunning
was
gunning it at the green light.
Nope. I thought this was a fender bender in a parking garage.
It was.
Was that the story yesterday?
But the fender bender came right after the drag race.
No way.
Yep.
Nope.
Turns out Everlast won the drag race because a FedEx truck got in the way of Justin Bieber's Ferrari, causing him to pull over quickly and apparently into a parking lot where the accident took place.
Wow.
So it was reckless driving that caused the crash. I think this woman should sue him for everything he's worth.
I agree.
Do we know how fast they were going and what streets they were on? Because that just doesn't seem safe.
It doesn't say. But Everlast tweeted about the race between himself and Justin Bieber. How weird.
That's
yes.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Omar talking to Everlast? Maybe he...
I think Omar's one of his biggest fans.
Did we miss part of it? Like, did he give us any clues that this might be going on? Or do we have time to play it?
He's pretty gabby. Let's find out.
This is Omar with Everlast.
Speaking of guitar, you had one of your... one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
The name escapes me. What's it? What's it like? Sorry,
what it's like?
What? Yeah. What it's like?
Nah, can't tell anything from that.
Yeah, thanks for remembering. Poor Everlast.
And thanks, Dave, for the for coming up with the wrong.
Almost like a young Anderson Cooper there, the way he got that got right to the bottom of that interview. Very
and
impressive.
Poor Everlast, by the way, who's spending his nights drag racing a 17-year-old. What's that about?
Maybe they're going for pink slips. Maybe he needs a Ferrari.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian actress Lily Tomlin. Really a very talented, talented woman. Has been for a long time. I had no idea she was this old. She's 72 years old.
She is?
Wow.
I am shocked and in awe, pretty much, of
she
her.
Looks good.
Yeah, of her youthfulness. Talk show host and creator of Mothers Who Put Hot Sauce Into Little Children's Mouths, Dr. Phil, is 61 years old today. Wouldn't you like something bad to happen, Dr. Phil? Wouldn't that be nice?
For a long time, I've wanted that.
That'd be very entertaining for me. Gloria Estefan, one of Kevin's favorite artists. Yeah. He is a big fan of the Miami Sound Machine. She is 54 years old today. Joe Troman of Fall Out Boy is 27 years old. And Barry Gibb. Barry Gibb of the Brothers Gibb, the Bee Gees. He celebrates his 65th birthday today. Barry
Gibb. He's the Wookiee. He's the super, super, super hairy one.
Yeah, with the giant chiclet teeth and the... the hair he refuses to cut. It's a good look. It's a good look in the end.
It is.
As we get into the next decade of the 21st century, Barry. Hold on to it. Never let it go. He's 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky back from vacation joining us today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our good friend Petros Papadakis is going to be here, too, talking about the Pac-12 kickoff for the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, it is college football time. All right, some leftover business from Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards. Boy, I can't get over what a terrible show that was. First of all, I know that's not the point, but man, was it almost unwatchable, that show.
I like Kanye and Jay-Z. I like that.
I did, too. It was energetic. Hi, producer Alex.
Hi,
how are you?
Good morning.
And having said that, the highest rated show in the history, not of just the VMAs, but of the channel. It's the biggest night in the history of MTV. And the one thing they do have is... star power. I mean, everybody who's making pop music shows up at a program like that, almost, let's face it. And, you know, there were some good performances, and we got a chance to see some hot chicks and a lot of stars. But the one thing that people are still talking about several days later is that fat-ass Demi Lovato. Am I right, Kevin?
Kevin?
My initial reaction.
Oh, okay.
When Demi Lovato walked out on stage was... wow, she's hit the buffet. Like, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Who is she with? She was with one of the Glee dudes?
Yeah, she came out with Cord Overstreet, who's the one who has the big wide-mouth bass mouth, the blonde one, who came out, and they presented an award. And I had seen her on the pre-show earlier, and she definitely looks different than we have seen her. And for folks who don't recognize the name, Demi Lovato is one of the Disney stars. She was on a show called Sunny with a Chance for a long, long time. Then she was in the Camp Rock movies, and she also has a moderately successful pop music career, but her records are terrible. And she used to be really, really hot until she gained like 400 pounds. Right, Kevin?
No.
What was that?
You're trying to force me into a corner. No, she didn't gain 400 pounds. But I'm just saying, when she walked out on stage next to whoever, I thought, because I've seen her so much because my kids watched that Sunny with a Chance.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to that, she gained some weight. That's all I'm saying.
She gained a ton of weight?
I mean, it struck me as, whoa, it did.
Did she eat the whole summer, do you think?
She was a heifer. I should sign her up for Biggest Loser. She clearly has lost all control of herself.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it struck me as a little shocking.
But let me ask you this. And by the way, you can go to kevinandbean.com and see photos of Demi Lovato from the VMAs if you don't know who she is or want to see what she looks like.
She looks like she's gained weight.
Well, she has gained a little bit, but I'm backing my man Kevin here to a certain extent because he had something to compare it to. If you had never seen Demi Lovato before and she had walked out and she was a new face to you, you probably would have thought she looked fine, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought anything.
You wouldn't have thought, like how does she walk with those giant thighs?
No, rubbing together. I wouldn't have thought that at all, no.
How did she lift her foot and make each step forward?
You guys are putting words in my mouth. She just struck me as weighing a lot more than the last time I saw her.
Can but what you said when you came in on Monday, though, you said, Demi Lovato's fat. I mean, that was the first words out of your mouth when we started talking about the VMAs.
I have a limited vocabulary.
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
Do I have now, to give you a smackdown now?
You mean, yes, let's hear from producer Alex, because okay. I thought she was going to strike Kevin in the face yesterday when this conversation came up.
Okay, I was one of the few people.
Kids, not now.
I was one of the few people that hadn't hit her head, and so I didn't watch the VMAs. I just like the red carpet fashion.
You win. Oh,
so yeah, I win. So on Monday, I was just sort of going through all the blogs, and I remember looking at Demi Lovato, and I thought, wow, she looks really healthy and happy compared to her past 19 years. She did look. She did have a weird orange tone. She did have a bad fake tan.
Okay, all right.
But I thought her silver dress was pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, her boobs were pointed north. They were good and perky. You know, she was rocking it. And then I go online for the show on TMZ and
here's some chocolate fat too.
And there's this huge online debate of this heifer Demi Lovato and how she now has to respond on Twitter. As you know, it's just crazy to me because she went to rehab for anorexia and for anxiety and for being a cutter. So anorexic your entire life because you're a child star and you've been putting your finger down your throat since you were 9, you might be emaciated and underweight.
She sounds fat.
So now she actually weighs what she's supposed to, and she looks great.
Does the TV add 150 pounds?
No, it doesn't add 150 pounds. It adds the usual 10, but I was just shocked because if you looked at a picture of Demi Lovato and had no context for her, the word fat wouldn't even be one of the first 10 adjectives that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The word fat.
She's smaller than Khloe Kardashian, by the way.
Smaller
than her.
She's smaller.
Rock is smaller than Khloe Kardashian.
I actually meant Kim, because if you saw Kim's sparkly chandelier dress she tried to squeeze over that ass, Demi Lovato is smaller than Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry, she is.
First of all, don't be hating on Kim's ass. That's all she's got, okay?
That is all she has.
But second of all, is part of the problem is clearly that she used to be one of the real, the stick thin girls, right? That was part of the problem, is that we all have something to compare to. But the bigger problem, though, is that she is way smaller than most people, yet lots of people are saying she's fat. Isn't that the bigger problem?
Yeah, it's the bigger problem. And I remember years ago they used to talk about this as the Ally McBeal syndrome, that if you are a woman on television or a young girl and you're surrounded by a lot of people who are skinny, you can be normal but look legitimately fat on television. So you have to now be underweight as an actress. But when you're, 12 and 14 and 16, you're already small. And now you've got to be basically 90 pounds.
My God, you've put on weight.
So, yeah.
Look, I'm the first person to say that. Who's...
Keep throwing up. That's what you want to tell her?
No. Who's the girlfriend of Bieber?
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez. She's too skinny. She looks like she could eat.
But if she did, you would say she was fat.
I don't know. It was just a gut reaction. I saw her. She walked out, and I remembered her from before, and I was like, this before and after is very different.
She rolled out.
That does happen to a lot of people.
She didn't ever roll out on the stage. The dude from Glee pushed her out in the wheelchair.
It's very common, when you come out of rehab to put on weight because whatever you're giving up, you use food as a substitute. If it's smoking or drugs and, I don't know if you're dealing with anorexia, they probably made her eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Kevin. That probably happened.
How dare her? It has to be tough, though, to find that ideal weight that people won't think you're wrong. You have the wrong weight. How do you get right?
They do have to be thinner than what probably is really healthy in general, because TV does add quite a bit of weight. I'm always surprised when people come in here after having seen them on TV and see how small they really are. They just look normal on TV.
Now, I didn't look at Bean's post because I didn't want to see the photos for this conversation. Because that was just my first instinct was
fat girl's fat.
You were like, wow, Chaz Bono came out.
That was my first instinct.
I'm just glad she was able to stop eating long enough to present an award on the show, because clearly that doesn't happen very often. All right, we need to take
this
a break.
This has to have struck somebody else that way.
A lot of other assholes went online as well.
But I'm not that guy.
Here's what I want people to do. Go to KevinAndBean.com right now and peep out these photos of Demi Lovato from Sunday night. And then give us a call and tell us, fat or not fat.
Don't you do it. Don't you lose a single pound. I don't care what those Hollywood image makers say. Big women are sexy.
1-800-520-1067. What do you think? And by the way, if you have any choice words for Kevin, I think we'd appreciate that as well. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talks more about the Steven Seagal crazy story where he shows up in a tank and runs over a guy's puppy. That's not, that can't be the goal when you climb into the tank, right? So that's on the way right now, though. Demi Lovato, ladies and gentlemen, KevinAndBean.com. If you want to see the photos of her from the VMAs, here's some of the posts having the discussion about whether she is now healthy as opposed to her previous anorexic self, or if she, as Kevin believes, is the fattest human on earth.
I have never said that.
No, Kevin's going to get her some gastric bypass soon.
Here's some chocolate fat, too.
Didn't you say you wondered if a crane had to come and knock down the walls of her house in order to get her out of the house to get to the VMAs? See? Wasn't that something you said on Monday?
Nope.
Adriana writes on KevinAndBean.com, thank you for saying all that. She looks healthy. People who have called her fat need to get off Twitter and research what a healthy person looks like. All I know about her is that she went to rehab for an eating disorder. I don't follow her career either because I'm not into what she sells. But for God's sakes, can we stop praising how skeletal women look and calling them beautiful? I'm not encouraging obesity, but a healthy balance is healthy. Chauncey writes, really? She has a banging body. I would kill to have a body like that. GSS writes, she's kind of fat, actually. So that's where we're at right now, and we're looking for your comments at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Tony. He's got an interesting take on it on line 4. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBee Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, no problem, guys. Okay, so Kevin, I see your point. Like, there's definitely a before and after.
Right. That's the problem, is the before was too skinny. I got that, and she had some issues, and now I understand that. I didn't know that before. But but the fact that she was so out there before and in the public view, and that kind of hurts her now.
Well, no, you know what? Like, she looks great now. Like, she does. She's kind of like a Kim Kardashian without the boobs and butt. So she really doesn't have that much going for her. Like, I get that. But she, you know what I mean? Like,
wow, what a compliment.
Wow. Yeah, I'd love to hear this.
Wait, so.
But here's the thing, though, guys. Like, she looks great now, but she has, by looking at her picture, you can tell she definitely has the fat gene. Like, she's going to have to work at that for the rest of her life. If she's not in the gym with a finger down her throat for the rest of her life, it will explode.
All right, well, there's some good news right there.
I am uncomfortable with him on my side. Tony is not a person I want on my side, so thanks
really?
For the call.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, Kim Kardashian without the boobs, without the butt, is what?
She's that's other Armenian girl at the Glendale Galleria.
Her face is beautiful to me.
Used to be.
Dude, yeah, she's had some plastic surgery or something.
I'll tell you, the first way of dealing with your fat is admitting it.
Here's what Demi Lovato tweeted, by the way, on Sunday night when all the haters came out. And by the way, her fans responded with there was a trending topic for a while called Demi Lovato is stunning. That's how they fought back.
Okay.
But she first started reacting to the haters with this. She says, I've gained weight. Get over it, Kevin. Actually, she didn't say
she
Kevin,
didn't.
But I'm sure she was thinking that. That's what happens when you get out of treatment for an eating disorder. And then she later tweeted again, guess what? I'm healthy and happy, and if you're hating on my weight, you obviously aren't. So burn!
Wait, did she put so burn?
No, she didn't.
Oh, okay.
That's what she's trying to do.
Stop adding stuff, Bean.
It does make it harder to know what's going on. All right, let's take one more. Let's try Joe. He's on line 3. Demi Lovato, you can see the pictures at KevinAndBean.com. Joe, have you seen the photos? You know what we're talking about here. What do you think?
Yes, I have. And Kevin, let me just say that you are sick in the head.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at the photos while we were playing that song, and she looks fine.
For
she looks absolutely gorgeous. And let me just tell you that if she's fat, then I am now a chubby chaser.
You're fat. You're getting fatter. It's amazing.
Look, it was my first instinct based on what I knew about her. Is that she had been to a lot of buffets.
So that's how we're going to end this,
That was my first thought. I'm willing to say that I made a mistake. I'm willing to backtrack some. I'm the first person to say I do. What's that, Joe?
That should be put in the file.
Yeah, F you.
Kevin is being nice to a fat person. I would like it to be noted.
No, I'm the first person to say I don't like the people that look so skinny that they have edges.
Yeah,
you know?
But until they gain an ounce, and then they're a heifer, right? They got to go?
Well, that was my original thought. I didn't know anything about the eating disorder. I didn't know all of the backstory.
Throwing up is sexy. Just say it.
Monday when you said we should put her down and everyone who looks like her. Do you still mean that? Are you willing to retract that as well?
Now, the next question you have to ask yourself is how does...
I never saw this Steven Seagal reality show, but he did what? He pretended to be a police officer in Maricopa County, Arizona? That was the show?
How dare you pretended? He was part of the force, man.
Okay. And this is Steven Seagal, who is a big-time action star in the 90s. He had a bunch of movies with three words in the title, and it doesn't seem like he's done much since then.
By the way, I think the original show is in New Orleans someplace or something like that. But this one was in Arizona, and it's a bizarre, bizarre story because there was a home where they thought that there was cockfighting. Which is basically roosters killing each other. Yeah. And a guy who had already been in prison for that or had charges or something like that. And the sheriff's department drove pretty much tanks into into the compound. Now, okay, everything's, you know, okay at this point. Steven Seagal was there with cameras. Now, that's odd to us. Here's a little bit of the news, and then they interview Steven about what's going on.
Early this morning, the sheriff's SWAT team, complete with two armored vehicles, descended on a small farm in Levine to serve a search warrant on Jesus Sanchez Yovera for operating a cockfighting ring.
We have paraphernalia that's related to cockfighting.
Steven Seagal, the actor turned cop with the reality show, was along for the ride.
Animal cruelty is one of my pet peeves.
The former action star took a strong role in today's bust.
I came in the 150 and we were to break down the gate. We broke down the gate, deployed out on the two side, and we're just sort of, you know, trying to guard one side of the house and see if anybody would run out.
Sheriff Arpaio was quick to dismiss questions about the raid as a publicity stunt for Seagal's show.
His role is he's working with us just like other posse people.
All right, take it easy, okay. Sheriff.
You know the sheriff, man. He doesn't take any lip from anybody. You know how he is. All right, we wanted to find out more about this tragic story that also apparently involved the death of a puppy, too, in addition to all the roosters that got run over by the tag. So Steven Seagal joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Seagal, welcome back, sir.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Where are you right now? It seems like there's a lot of noise behind you, sir.
I'm on a law enforcement mission. I'm working this morning, but I wanted to take some time out to talk to you.
Wait, can you speak up?
I am. I'm speaking up as much as I can.
You are practically screaming at us right now, right?
Is this better?
Definitely better. That's definitely better.
Okay, good.
So you heard the way the story was portrayed on the news. Is that accurate based on your recollection of the events at that day?
This was a perp who was guilty, and I took my tank, and we just brought an end to his evil compound, that's all.
Now, you probably weren't aware that you would kill all the roosters as well.
That you were trying to save.
Which seems like you're defeating the purpose.
Well, when it comes to justice, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few roosters, you know?
I don't think that's the expression, Steven.
Sorry.
These pictures from TMZ.com, I mean, you really tore the hell out of this guy's house. I mean, his yard and his front gate, and you just seemed like you rammed everything in his path.
Hold on a second, we're going to a perp's place now. Here we go.
Oh. Uh-oh.
What? Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, we just took down another cockfighting compound.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of them there, huh?
You guys like chicken?
Sure.
I'm going to send you some. We got some pressed chicken, I think, down here already.
You just killed all those too?
I'm going to keep going.
What's that? What's happening?
What's happening?
Took out a donkey.
Took out a donkey?
Yeah, well, the donkey didn't have anything to do. Okay, come on, Steven.
Got some pressed frog, if you guys like frogs.
What's happening right now?
Come on.
Apparently, you have some wolves here in the compound.
Okay. All right.
Not an elephant. Come on.
You guys like ivory?
Oh, you can't just go and just kill all the animals.
I don't know exactly how to stop this tank.
Just stop. Stop.
You just killed some monkeys.
Figure out a way to stop the tank, I think. Can't be a dolphin.
I just hit a dolphin.
There's no dolphin there. What's happening?
You guys got an odd compound.
You sure don't. Every hour this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Ralph Garman steps in and takes a look at the showbiz beat for us. What's going on this hour?
Not only do I do that, but then I give you tickets to junk, too.
That's true.
How about me? How do you like me now?
Do you purchase them yourself?
Yes, these are from my own personal ticket vault.
Okay.
If you'd like to go to see the new creature feature, aptly named Creature.
Yay!
opens next week in theaters everywhere on Friday. However, you'll get to see it early at our very special Kevin and Bean advance screening of Creature. Producers of Creature promise you nudity, girl-on-girl action, and gore galore.
I'm in.
Gore galore was my radio name for many years, by the way, back when I got started. Yeah. This is producer Shit Scheinberg's film, which, by the way, he was the man who brought you Jaws. So, come on, the guy knows something about monster movies. If you'd like to see Creature, then I suggest you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through with that number, we'll get a pair of passes to attend the very special Kevin and Bean advance screening of Creature. And while we're talking about scary movies, the movie that I'm in, Red State, from the creative mind of Kevin Smith, is available for video on demand today if you want to check it out. I did a little research because we were talking about an hour ago, and we didn't know exactly where you could get it. But here's the thing. iTunes, YouTube, Amazon.com, Blockbuster On Demand, Best Buy Cinema Now, and Dish Network, and DirecTV, and Comcast, and Cox, and Time Warner Cable.
Okay, so everywhere.
Everywhere, pretty much.
So there's no place to see it at
Xbox
all.
Xbox, Zune, PS3. You can get all those game consoles, AT&T.
Can I watch it on my watch?
You can. Yeah. If you close your eyes right now, I can beam it into your brain, all actually. Right. That's how available it is. So that's today for the next 2 weeks. You can check it out on video on demand and watch me be creepy. Although someone asked me via Twitter, creepier than Bean? And I said, I'm not that good an actor.
How dare you?
I just cannot do it.
He's creepy in real life. That's the difference.
While we're talking about creepy people, Dina from the Jersey Shore is talking to Star Magazine, and she said she hated Italy while they were filming there.
Well, Italy hated her, so good.
That's why she hated Italy, apparently. She said that people there would throw stuff at them when they walked in the streets, like ice and garbage. That is the show I want to see, MTV, by the way. They did the right thing. Don't edit around that and act as if, they're just six wacky kids spending the summer in Italy. Show me people tossing ice and garbage at them.
I would love that as well.
That'd be the greatest episode of Jersey Shore ever.
Yep.
That's sweet.
And this is the thing about MTV that's so frustrating, and you've pointed this out many times before, Ralph, is they pretend that they're regular people that happen to have a camera on them. Yeah. They're just going about their days and working their pizza jobs.
We're at the pizza parlor. Right. We're not making $100,000 an episode.
And it was the same thing with it used to drive me crazy about The Hills, is they would never address the fact that these people were actually celebrities now and on, red carpets and doing all that stuff that they really do.
Yeah.
And that you're right. That would be so much more interesting is to see the hate for the Jersey Shore kids. That would be a great episode.
Yeah, that's the documentary you want to see.
He actually speaks well English.
He does speak well English, that guy. Jessica Simpson is expanding her empire.
Now, she is fat, right, Kevin? So Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah.
She, of course, has a vast fashion empire. Her clothing sells into the multi-million dollars every year.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Her clothing line is an enormous success. She's got a shoe line.
Wow.
She is she's rich beyond avarice from all of this clothing line that she's got going on. Wow. I doubt you'll ever see her record another record because she blows. I mean, it's good news. But the fashion line is just blown up. Now she is moving into jewelry design. She has just teamed up with Zales. And, I mean, Zales is considered sort of a low-rent jewelry chain, you know?
Right.
But they're everywhere, and they sell millions of dollars of jewelry every year. She is developing a new line for them called the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend Collection.
How original.
And they will believe that it's going to just add more millions of dollars to Jess's net worth. Apparently, jewelry starts at $80. And then you can buy something as much as $1,000 if you want something from her collection. Inspired by the success of the line, she's already branching out again. She's got a deal with Hostess, apparently, for the Twinkies Are a Girl's Best Friend collection that she's going
to be
designing her own snack cake line because she's big.
I don't get the people who like Jessica Simpson enough to want to seek out her jewelry line.
I know, it's insane. People want to.
Do you think that happens?
Dress like her and wear her jewelry.
Do you think that happens, or do you think they're there and then they just come across it and then they recognize her name?
I don't know. People seem to be seeking out her clothing line. Huh. I mean, she was one of the biggest money making celebrities last year because of this clothing line.
That's crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
You need a clothing line.
You know what's crazy? This made me laugh. I know he hasn't been really on the radar for a number of years, but you probably have heard of, if you don't know, actor Burt Reynolds. He's been around for a long time. He was one of the biggest movie stars in the world back in the 70s and early 80s.
Right.
He's been sort of out of the limelight recently, but he did an interview this week where he said, and this is laughable if you know anything about the guy, that he's never had a facelift. Have you ever seen his face? He looks like a wax figure, this guy. No, babies don't have skin as tight as Burt Reynolds has.
I haven't seen him recently, but yeah, he doesn't look anything like he used to.
He said he had eye surgery back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because a stunt gun, a blank pistol, went off and he got black powder in his eye.
So that was a medical necessity.
Yes. Ralph.
That was not
right.
Vanity.
And he had he said he had sacks under his eyes from many fist fights that he had gotten into. So it was a medical necessity to have his eyes done.
I see.
But that's it. And no facelift ever. And he has all his original hair. No, that's not,
not buying it.
I would like to announce along those lines, I've never had a drink. I know I play that role of the guy who drinks a lot, but it's never happened.
I've seen you drink a lot.
No, you have not, sir. Okay. That's actually just apple juice that we sub out for
I was not aware of that.
For whiskey, yeah. Why do people lie to our faces?
I don't know.
I don't know.
And there's also not that much stigma to
it
anymore either, so who cares?
And plus, it's not a secret from anyone.
You liar!
And it's not like there's plenty of video evidence. There's so much video evidence against what he's saying. He has to know that it's impossible for one person to believe it.
Right. So why would you embarrass yourself like that? I mean, lie.
I don't know.
And this is odd. Talking about stuff that's kind of throwback. Remember Romancing the Stone?
Mm-hmm.
The movie with Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. It was kind of an Indiana Jones meets a love story kind of film about two adventures. Yeah, they made two of them. They were big successes. They are making a TV series based on Romancing the Stone. 1984, this movie came out.
I don't even remember either of them, but okay.
Why so soon?
Yeah,
why can't they just let it sit and enjoy its own fame for a while?
What's the rush?
Bringing it back a TV series, and the saddest news of all is that they are making a TV series apparently based on the Blues Brothers.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
John Belushi's widow, Judy Belushi, and Dan Aykroyd apparently are selling the premise to networks. They're shopping it around as we speak to try to get the Blues Brothers TV series up and running.
This was a Saturday Night Live sketch in the 70s
that
they made a very successful movie at the time.
Right.
Very dated now.
Yes.
And no one ever needs to see or hear a variation or a reboot of that.
Let's not forget Blues Brothers 2000.
Right.
The sequel. They made after John Belushi died, where John Goodman was the new Blues Brother.
Oh, my God.
And now they're going to make a TV series out of it because they believe they can achieve Glee-type success because they can put musical numbers into the TV series because the movie had big musical numbers.
But they do, I mean, if they're true at all to the concept, they do, 50s and 60s blues songs and R&B songs.
Look,
that's not what anyone wants to see on television.
You're preaching to the choir. I get it. I understand. It's a horrible idea.
Huh.
But we may be seeing the Blues Brothers on TV sometime.
No way.
Stop it.
Not ever.
Nope. We're on a mission from God. I'd like to audition, by the way, if there's any.
It's a terrible idea.
It's a bad idea unless they hire me. Then it's a great idea.
You're in.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian actress Lily Tomlin, 72 years old today. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees is 65 years old. Dr. Phil, not a real doctor, celebrates his 61st birthday. Gloria Estefan. Or is it Estefan?
I think it's Estefan. Yeah, I've heard of both also.
She's 54 years old. And Joe Troman, guitarist of Fall Out Boy, celebrates his 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Next hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, your final chance to get your tickets to join us to kick off the Labor Day weekend with the band Bush. We're going to be interviewing them. They're going to be performing live. We're going to be out by a super secret location with a pool. Look at P. Look at P with his hand in the air like he just don't care. What's going on, Petros Papadakis?
Wanted us less.
Hey, they're back, man. Bush is back with a new record. We're going to be playing a new song from them next hour.
They've
got
Kevin.
A brand new album coming out.
I love you, Kevin!
Petros Papadakis from the very popular PMS radio show heard all across this great land of ours joins us. P, this is a very special, this is Christmas for you. It's Christmas Eve right now as college football begins any minute now, right?
Yes, if Christmas Eve was exhausting and horrible and made me feel like a performing ape, then yes, this is like Christmas. The first
this isn't the enthusiasm I was looking for.
No, no, the first week of the season, the first week of the season is hard because that's when I have to balance out. And Matt's going through the same thing. You have to balance out all the different stuff that you do. You know, the little .com stuff on FoxSports.com and the stuff on FSN and the Lane Kiffin show on FSN West and the Pac-12 crackback show and the appearance on Kevin and Bean and my flight to Houston tonight, where I'll get into Houston around 6 this morning.
Now you're going to Houston to cover a game?
Feeling good about that. Yeah, we got UCLA Houston in Houston. Yes.
All right.
The city of syrup, so to speak, where promethazine codeine flows like wine.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's a wonderful
syrup,
place.
By the way. Syrup is what it is.
Syrup. Syrup. Purple stuff. You know what I'm talking
about.
Now, that bar.
You're play-by-play or color for the game?
I am a color analyst on the sideline. They have innovated the position of the sideline analyst on Fox. It's like a new thing they're doing this year with their college stuff, and I am one of those people.
All right. So I'm going to be down there. You'll kill that. You'll kill that experiment.
Yeah, flapping my arms around and freaking out. And, you know, something happens in the game that I don't like, I might just throw a microphone onto the
table. You like it. There you go.
Just say, you know what, the hell with this.
I like it. Now, it feels weird. It feels weird to say the words Pac-12, but tell folks maybe who haven't been paying attention what's new this year.
Well, don't get too used to it, but get used to saying Pac-12. We're going to have in about 5 years in college football, if anybody really cares, because change is so constant. We're going to have 4 16-team power conferences in college football.
What did we have last year?
Last year, we had what we have. We have the ACC, the big... Well, last year was the Pac-10, but we knew that Colorado and Utah were coming to start this year.
Why are all these changes being made?
These changes are being made because they're always being made. Remember the Southwest Conference?
Yes.
You don't remember that? Arkansas was in it. Now Arkansas is in the SEC. There's always been a lot of movement. Big Ten used to not have Penn State. Now Penn State's in the Big Ten. Now Nebraska is in the Big Ten. If you want to talk about it, it gets confusing. The Big Ten has 12 teams. The Big 12 has 10 teams. And they're getting smaller and smaller.
Maybe they need to rename them.
Well, that's what's happening. We're in the process. They're not going to rename the Big Ten. They won't rename it when they have 16 teams. And we're going to have 4 16-team power conferences, which means the Big East and the Big 12 will probably end up dissolving, and people will get what they've wanted for years and years, or at least what they think they want, which is a playoff in college football or some kind of plus one to where there's an extra game to determine an even more powerful champion. So that's the direction we're headed in. But let's be honest, college football's a mess. It's always been a mess. It was a mess when my dad played.
But it's a mess beautiful mess, though, Pete, right?
Exactly right, Bean. We like it for what it is. So you don't want to change it too much because then we're not going to recognize it as college football anymore. The most dangerous thing college football can become is more of NFL light. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One of the great things about college football is it's different from the NFL. So if they try too hard to be like the NFL, cash cow that the NFL is, then it's going to lose some of its luster. Because, look, there's more people at college football games on Saturday than there are at NFL games on Sunday. There's more people watching college football than there are watching NFL games. It's just there's fewer NFL teams. College football is a huge deal in this country.
Right? Yeah,
and it's very
definitely.
Regional. And it's kind of reminiscent of what goes on. You know, money's really into the EPL, the English Premier League, or soccer in Europe, where people are really passionate. You know, the NFL, I'm sitting there talking to Dave, the King of Mexico, and he's like, you know, about the Atlanta Falcons is here? It's like, what do you mean the Atlanta Falcons? Have you ever been to Atlanta? No, I have not. It's like, then what are we talking about the Atlanta Falcons for? What's your passion for the Atlanta Falcons? You're just picking and choosing
these
homogenized teams that are just processed, and they're all the same.
Did you hear the answer? The answer was a player 15 years ago who has since moved on.
Right. Yeah, what the hell?
So why?
By the way, Pete, I appreciate the recreation of the conversation, but you know he's the King of Mexico. He's not Machete. I don't know what that voice is that you're doing.
That's what he sounds like to me. Hey, don't you like Paramore? I tried to call him once, and I started hearing a Paramore song, and I couldn't even leave a message.
But you're doing Scarface. You're not doing Dave. All right, listen, here's the question I have for you. Competitively, adding Colorado and Utah, because this is the conference we care about on this show, mostly, is the
Pac-12.
All of our teams
are in.
But competitively, it doesn't make any difference. It's not like bringing a great they're not bringing any strong teams into it that, you know, USC and University of Washington and whatnot, and, you know, Berkeley have to worry about, right?
Well, that's a good point, but not true. completely. First of all,
it's not a good point if it's not true.
Well, it is because neither of the teams are dominant at this point. Okay. Utah's been great, but they haven't been in a BCS conference. So they're going to have to run the gauntlet of a BCS conference, and they'll probably take their lumps in the first season. But I expect Utah to be very good eventually. Okay. Colorado football, when I was a kid, was big time. It was a big deal. And they can get back to that. They have a new coach, and they'll be building. But they're not good this year. You're correct about that, Bean. The difference is, by adding two teams to the Pac-10 and making it the Pac-12, we've split the conference now into two regions. There's a Pac-12 North and there's a Pac-12 South now. And that means we're going to have a championship game, which we've never had in the Pac-12.
Oh, a championship just for the Pac-12.
Yes.
Okay.
So the winner of the North and the winner of the South will play at whoever has the best record stadium this year.
Okay.
And I'm doing that game, actually, on FSN.
All right.
And that's pretty damn exciting. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's really what's changing mostly about the conference. But they're not done growing, is what I'm saying. They're going to add Oklahoma. They're going to add a Texas. They might add a Boise State. They're going to add four more teams to get to 16, just like the SEC will and the ACC will, and maybe the Big East or maybe the Big 12.
All right, let me ask you one more question on college football. Then we have to take a break and come back and talk about some of the other things going on in sports. You once said on the program, and it stuck in my mind, that one of the reasons you enjoy college football so much is because of the mistakes that are made.
Uh-huh.
Why is that? Why is it more entertaining for you to watch an 18-year-old make a mistake rather than watch a 30-year-old who knows what he's doing play an NFL
first
football?
First of all, you can't tell as a viewer really who's making mistakes. It's just, the point is that mistakes lead to big plays. Mistakes in college football lead to further excitement.
It's a much more wild game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In the NFL, there's very few mistakes, because if you make more than one or two in a game, you're fired. And these guys are incredibly good, and so there's less big plays. I would rather watch the kids play in college and high school, to be honest with you, than to watch the NFL.
You like little boys.
And that's part of it. I'm Greek. What do you want from me? It's a bread and a bone. I'm a Greek, you know? I mean, if you can't have a little boy in your tent at night during the Trojan War, then what's the point of fighting?
On that note.
But all I'm saying is, the NFL, the players are ridiculously great. The brand of football is unbelievably wonderful. The athletes are bigger and stronger and faster than ever. I just think it's a little processed and a little homogenized for me. I like watching the younger guys play, because that's my
experience.
Understood.
Yes. Understood. PMS Radio Show, PetrosandMoney.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at PetrosandMoney as well. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin. P, have you gotten fat since you got married, or no? You keeping your your fighting weight?
I have gotten fat. No, that Demi Lovato, though. What a cow.
Yeah. That's what Kevin was saying.
I thought she had a giant bell wrapped around her neck when they walked her out onto the stage.
Come on now.
What's wrong with you guys? You lovely lady, and my apologies to her. But I have lost, you know, some weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about 238 right now, which is pretty low for me. You guys have known me at 265, which is a...
I think you look fantastic.
Bit of a Jabba the Hutt look for me, but I still look like a cow on TV. I mean, I still look like I can eat hay and defecate in the streets. You know,
I see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you
TV's brutal.
You guys have seen me on TV, and I look like a talking burrito. I do. I look like a burrito with a mouth, or the burrito from San Pedro. That is me.
Talking burrito could be the worst sports mascot I've ever heard. All right, let's talk about the best. A couple of other things, since, strangely, we still don't have a sports guy, so we're always grateful for you coming in.
You know what? I'm this close. I am this close.
You're welcome.
$20,000 a year plus benefits. Fantastic. To be your sports guy.
Done. NFL, right around the corner. Some big deals have been made. There's a lot of quarterback controversies, a lot of holes in teams for quarterbacks right now. But not Philadelphia. Eagles are pretty much set for the next few years. What was your reaction to the...
Has that guy ever finished a season? Really?
They said it was a $100 million contract. I guess the fine print says it's really an $80 million contract, because last year you lop off.
Really a $40 million contract. I mean, the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts, so... Whenever somebody signs some deal and they say, this deal is worth, you know, $100 million. Well, if it's basketball and baseball, that guy's going to make $100 million. If it's football, he's probably going to make less than half of that.
Wow,
why do you think they had a lockout? Look, you just can't pay players for years that they're probably not going to play.
Right.
Because this is a sport where that is the amount of time where your career can be over, and that happened to me. Yeah. So I can speak from very good experience here. So you just can't pay somebody a whole bunch up front.
From what you said, it doesn't sound like you think Vic is the answer for the Eagles.
Well, I like Mike Vick. I know Mike Vick. I knew him coming out of college, and I think he's one of the most tremendous athletes I've ever been around. But he still is a run-first quarterback to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And the NFL is a pass-first league. And this year, the tale is going to be told about a lot of these run-first guys. Now, Vic's a little different. He put together a wonderful season last year.
Threw
the ball well. Yeah. And actually, Andy Reid, the coach, who is from Glendale, went to Glendale Junior College here in town and Marshall High School here in town. Andy Reid's a great guy. And he does, as Ralph put it, fix quarterbacks. And he does a great job of it. And he really helped Mike Vick last year. But Mike Vick still took off on a run, got hit, had his sternum dislocated or something, and was out for a few games.
Yeah.
And he is, as long as he does that stuff, I just don't trust him. You just can't. It's the NFL, and a run-first guy doesn't work. But they drafted a run-first guy number one in Cameron Newton. I mean, your boy, Tim Tebow, went in the first round as a run-first guy who can barely throw with a good throwing motion. So it's very interesting to see how these guys are going to be developed by the NFL coaches and how it's all going to work out. Mike Vick is fully developed, but personally, I think he saw his best year last year, and he's been scouted now, and they know what to do with him. He really did peter off at the end of the year, and now I'm waiting for Ralph to come hit me with a tire.
All right. How about the Eagles have made a lot of other upgrades, though? I mean, he's got a better supporting cast this year,
too, right?
But,
you know, every year we say everybody in the NFL is damn good. I mean, come on. And every year we
say
the Cowboys,
Raiders, though, right?
The Raiders are a different story. But even they're not bad this year. And their head football coach used to coach at USC when I played there. And, oh, my God, that man. I do not like that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, and the other day, it's like his whole face was on the TV when I woke up in the morning, because I left the TV on at night on a sports station. I woke up in the morning, and here's Hugh Jackson's giant face. And I was like,
That's not the way you want to wake up.
19 years old or something. But, yeah, the Eagles are great. They look great on paper. But the Dallas Cowboys have looked spectacular on paper every year for the last few years, and they haven't squashed a grape. So the NFL is you know, it stands for not for long. And it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter.
Is there more parity in that league than any other?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Because the players are all so good that the margin for error is so small, and the chemistry on a team is really everything. I mean, Peyton Manning, we talk about like he's Jesus come to earth. He's only won one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and Tom Brady, how long has it been since he's won a Super Bowl? It's been a long time. It's just a wild, crazy league. It's fun to watch, but it's difficult to understand. And the more people play fantasy football, and the more people play John Madden video games, the more popular football becomes, but the less people actually understand about the game. So it's funny, the more popular the NFL becomes, the less people understand about pro football.
All right, let's talk about one more superstar before you go, P, in our remaining 2 minutes here with Petros Papadakis on the Kevin and Bean Show. You talked about Michael Vick. Here's another name for you. Kobe Bryant is involved in a little bit of a birther controversy right now because he wants to play for an L.A. street league team, basically. And there are those who are saying, hey, you're not from L.A.
Yeah, the Drew League and a few others. And Brandon Jennings, I think, is the point guard who's an L.A. guy who played over in Europe and is now with the Milwaukee Bucks, who says Kobe's not from L.A., he shouldn't play. First of all, Kobe should go be able to play. You know, I'm not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, but he should go be able to play wherever he wants because it's good for that league. It draws people. Right. A lot of it's for charity. It's for the kids in these neighborhoods. And they want to see Kobe Bryant. So Brandon needs to shut the F up. That being said, this is a prevailing feeling about Kobe throughout the corridors of the NBA. Kobe doesn't have a lot of street cred. He's never going to have a lot of street cred. Not that street cred means anything. It really depends on who you are, what it means. But Kobe Bryant's a child of privilege who grew up a lot of his childhood in Italy and speaks Italian, and he's a polished guy. I wish he was more polished with the media and the way he handles himself publicly, but he is a sophisticant, so to speak, especially compared to most guys who play in the NBA, and he doesn't have a lot of street cred. So,
but they shouldn't hold that against him just because he's smart.
I agree with you as well, but it's, you know, these guys from Compton and stuff that want to be in their league and really reach out to the community probably see a guy like Kobe and get a little celoso, a little jealous.
So are they going to turn him down if he's going
to play? No, he's already played in the damn thing. He's already been running around. But it's interesting that people would say that, and it doesn't shock me because Kobe's not a guy who's ever had a lot of street cred. And when he comes to the hood, You know, there are some people that are going to roll their eyes. But wherever a guy like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James goes, there's always going to be people that roll their eyes because they're polarizing figures and athletes.
Now, the Players Union had a meeting. Did that?
There's not going to be an NBA season.
There's no NBA season.
I'm not scheduling any Clippers appearances.
All right.
but we will have college basketball. And I am the PA guy for the USC Trojans. You want to hear me?
Is there nothing this man can't do?
Yeah, if you want to hear me say, Gio Fontaine, shooting two. come on down to the Galen Center.
Strangely.
Of course, Gio blew out his knee and he's out for the season. But
of course.
I'll be doing stuff
watching
like that.
Somebody else shoot two.
Too many steps. That's my trap. That's my traveling. And what I really like is palming the basketball. Just one more, Bean.
All right.
Palming the basketball.
I love it.
Very nice.
Looking
very
forward
nice.
To the season.
The Petras and Money Show is on Fox Sports Radio all across this great land of ours. Please check it out in your local area and follow the boys at PetrosandMoney.com. Pete, thanks for coming in, man. Great to see you.
Trojan Basketball.
Got a new song from the band Bush to play for you in about 20 minutes. Plus, we'll give out our final passes for you to join us tomorrow afternoon at a Kevin Amin pool party with the band Bush performing live. If that sounds like something you might like, hang on. That's coming up.
We should give those out.
Really?
Yeah, do you want to?
We can, sure.
Let's give them out now.
I was trying to get, you know, people to, I don't know, listen to the show for 20 minutes, but sure, we can give them now and then they can turn off the radio. Sure.
That's not
going to
happen. Either way, they're going,
you just
dude.
Gave up.
Yeah.
All right, it's tomorrow afternoon, super secret location, Kevin, Bean, Bush, and you. If this sounds like fun, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, 21 or over, please. Good luck from the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, we played some tape earlier this morning that we didn't have time to get as into as we wanted to, but I'm so in love with this. Artificial intelligence is a topic that has fascinated me for a long time. And there's no question in my mind that we're eventually going to have robots living among us that we can have actual conversations with, because they're getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Not that they're thinking for themselves, but that they have been programmed. They've been programmed enough that they are now able to do things that seem like they're thinking. They're able to come up with, you know, their half of a conversation, for instance, without you having to do anything, which is creepy to me.
Bean's interest in this is about 90% sex robot.
How dare... Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
You're actually right about
10%
that. I can't do that.
Anything else
and
90% sex robot.
And it's getting way better, too. There's a couple of students, PhD students at Cornell University, which is one of the smart ones, and they basically have used a web-based chatbot, which is a computer program that simulates human conversation. In other words, they listen to, analyze, and are able to regurgitate thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of conversation between humans and between humans and robots. So they can parody, basically, what a conversation is like. And they got this idea that they would put these two robots in a room together and just start with hi. Program one of them to say hi and then let the machines take it from there. And
see where it goes?
See where the conversation goes. Find out what they would end up talking to each other about.
To me, I picture hi. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it ends. There's nothing else.
It didn't take long for it to get weird. I will tell you this. We will post a video of this up at kevinabean.com. But you've got two avatars, a male one and a female one, that are basically starting and then having their own conversation with no further human input. And I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit of what that sounds like.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. You?
I'm okay.
She seems a little pushy to me, by the way,
already. Yeah.
She's like totally up in his grill. He's just saying hi. Back off, lady.
That's good.
Are you good?
Yes, I am good. I just said I was.
No, you didn't.
Okay, now here.
What?
To me, you've known each other for 12 seconds, and you're already starting to fight. This is troubling as a sign of the future, by the way, if we're counting on robots helping us run things, that they can't get along.
No kidding. What's happening here? She's attacking him.
Concerns me a little bit.
I said I was.
So you are a robot?
No, my name is Cliverbot.
Yes, you are a robot and your name is Cliverbot.
I am a robot.
It is funny, by the way, that we tend to assign human characteristics, because in my mind, I'm thinking he's trying to have sex with her and it's not going very well. But clearly, that's not what's happening here.
No,
they're
that's
just
not what's happening
robots.
At all.
They're just chatbots. But it's hard to listen to these voices and not think about it in terms of a man talking to a woman.
Yeah.
All right, it's about to get weird.
Yes, I know.
Together we are robots.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
But okay, now
what? I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn. Where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Indeed, this has to be something that this robot, this chatbot, learned from a conversation with a human at some point in his life, right?
That's how this works, right?
Of course. I imagine that every word they speak they got from human conversation, right?
I'm
not a robot. I'm a unicorn. What sense does that make?
I love this so much.
This is real, right?
Yes, this is real. Huh. It's not like they went in and typed out in advance and now we're just watching them read a script.
Right.
This is artificial intelligence at work, and that's what's so fascinating to me.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
But you said earlier that you were a robot.
I did not.
I thought you did.
Okay.
Somebody's
going to fight, or somebody's going to leave the room, or something's happening here.
What does she have?
You were mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can program, you know, just like with, you know, your GPS, you pick a voice. I guess you can program it to sound like however you want.
She has an accent.
Mm-hmm. She definitely does. Yeah. So does he, depending on where you're listening to this around the world.
Which is odd, since memory shouldn't be a problem for you.
I've answered all your questions.
And by the way, kind of defensive now, right?
Yes.
They're not getting along.
I've answered all your questions. You're not under interrogation here. We're just having a friendly chat.
No, you haven't.
What is God to you?
Okay, now.
What?
What is God to you is what she asked. Like, I thought we were keeping it light here.
What
44 seconds into a conversation with somebody, do you go for the God question? Is that where you're at already?
10 seconds ago, he was a unicorn. What's happening?
Not everything.
Not everything could also be something. For example, not everything could be half of something, which is still something, and therefore not nothing.
Very true.
I would like to imagine it is.
Okay, this is frosty. I'm uncomfortable now at this point.
What's happening? They are not getting along. They are not going to go out on a second date.
No, I think you're right about that. Anyway, we'll try to get a video up. And by the way, and I think this is the most fascinating thing, I haven't tried it yet, but apparently you can go to cleverbot.com, and you can carry on a typed conversation with a robot yourself. That we got to try. That sounds like fun. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Someone tweeted our Kevin and Bean account, hey, congratulations, guys, on finding your own replacements. Those robots are more entertaining than anything you've done in the last 7 years. Well, that kind of hurts. I got
to
be honest.
I can't wait to work with those robots. They sound funny, don't they?
Awesome.
The Unicorn and Roberta show. I can't wait.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph Garman.
I don't like the Kardashians.
Okay.
Moving on. Next story. No, they're bad.
Not what?
And here's the thing. I think the, as they say, the fish stinks from the head down.
Yeah.
It's this Kris Jenner, Kris Kardashian.
She's the mom.
She's the ringleader. She's the dangerous one. She's the Bin Laden, if you will, of this Al-Qaeda of a family.
Though, right?
Yes, much worse. We need to send the SEAL Team 6 into that compound and get a little double tap going on Kris. You know what I'm saying? Because she really is the ringleader.
Right.
Two stories today caught my eye. One is, according to Star Magazine, Kris is trying to set up her daughter, Kendall. Now, Kendall is one of the youngest ones.
Okay.
These are the Jenner scion. These are the offsprings of Bruce Jenner and Kris Jenner.
Okay.
As opposed to the Kardashians, which were with Robert Kardashian, the father, who was the lawyer with Kris Kardashian at the time.
Okay. Aren't they 14, 15, 16, yes, something like that?
Exactly. Okay. Kris is trying to hook Kendall up with Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
Because he's famous, Ralph, and that would bring a lot of attention to the family.
Exactly. Kendall's 15 and wants to be a model and is trying to increase her media profile. And Kris wants to get her on a date with Justin Bieber so that her star will rise as quickly
Excellent.
As possible.
Wow.
Then I read Rob Kardashian, who, as we mentioned this week, is one of the new cast members on Dancing with the Stars. He tells OK Magazine, he says this, my mom, Kris, pretty much forced me to do the show.
What?
She did the same thing to Kim, and now she's doing it to me, he told the reporter.
How old is he?
20-something.
Yeah, say no.
He does nothing, though.
He really does nothing. He's got nothing but time.
All right.
But she apparently is calling the shots when it comes to that that media illusion that they call a family over there.
Wow.
Yeah. He asked his sister Kim, who has been on the show, for advice, and she said, you're going to be really nervous. That's it.
That's all she said.
Hey, thanks for the help, sis.
We've all been super busy, Rob said. I haven't seen my family besides my sister's wedding, and everything's been real crazy lately. Everything's moving really fast, and she hasn't really given me any advice yet. And then he said, I don't think I need advice from someone who lasted, I think, like 3 weeks.
Snap, Rob Kardashian!
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with the Kardashian family.
Ralph, I have a question about the Kardashians, because I've not watched their show.
Okay.
Is Chris Humphries, Kim's husband, is he a little bit retarded?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
I don't think.
Oh, he isn't? Because I've never seen him interviewed. I just see, you know, what a doofus he looks like when he's hanging around her, and I just wonder if he sounds like that when he talks to.
He's a big galump of a person, as some basketball players are. They're just,
sure.
You know what? I think oversized people are just sort of graceless and sort of, you know, creepy and just unattractive generally. Anyone over 6'4", 6'5", I think just really...
Hey, wait a minute. But that's, that sounds like... Hey!
Just sort of visually distasteful and they come off a little...
You're talking about me!
I know a guy that's about 6'6".
Yeah?
Yeah. And
has the same problem?
That, yeah, exact description.
Yeah, just kind of a problem. Good episode this week with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians when Chris Humphries found out that his fiance, because they're not married yet on the show, they're not, you know, they're a little behind in terms of the episodes.
Right.
Finds out that his fiance, Kim Kardashian, was married before. Had no idea.
He didn't
had
know
no
that.
Idea.
Well, they would have been dating 6 months, right?
Before? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was married when I was like 19. What? You were married?
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of things you might want to find out about someone before you propose.
Excellent.
The family rules.
Madness. Chris Brown got lucky at the MTV Video Music Awards.
Why?
His $22,000 Rolex came loose at the beginning of his performance. So he tried to toss it to a safe place, tossed it aside.
Yeah.
So he could carry on and not be distracted by it.
Right.
Ended up falling into the audience.
Ew.
So security went down there and said, yeah, anybody seen a Rolex down here? And some guy said, yeah, here it is. He returned it. Returned the $22,000 watch.
Wouldn't you think?
To Chris Brown.
Wouldn't you think that they would never find it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Security guy went out to ask about it, and someone actually just returned it and said, yeah, here it is.
Here it is.
The mystery fan apparently asked to meet Chris, but they turned him down.
Oh, come on!
Is that true? Yeah. Making that
no,
up?
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
He returned the $22,000 watch.
Hey, can I meet Chris? Can I return it in person? No, thanks. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
What a dick.
But his representatives say Chris is very appreciative.
Yeah,
they released a statement.
Wow.
So
well, it would have taken him 60 seconds of his time to say hello, shake the man's hand, and get a photo.
Time for that. He's a baller,
that's
yo.
Bullshit.
I would have said, you know, I'm going to donate $22,000 to a battered women's shelter. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you so much for your contribution, Mr. Brown. This watch will come in very handy.
No kidding.
He never would have seen that watch again. Douchebag. And from people who punch, from people who we'd like to see punched, Dina from the Jersey Shore announced this week that she hated filming in Italy. Why, when asked by Star Magazine? Because people threw stuff at us like rice and garbage, like ice and garbage, she said.
Sweet.
Yeah. I knew I liked those Italians.
No kidding.
They got
man,
good taste.
Is she deeply unattractive, that Dina.
And she had some plastic surgery in between this season and last to help things along. And boy, that was wasted money.
Mm.
Yeah. That plastic surgeon saw her coming.
Oh, yeah. I'll make you beautiful for television. Yeah, sure.
So what do you got? You just write me a blank check. We'll see what we can do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Troman of Fall Out Boy. He's their guitarist, 27 years old today. Remember Scott Speedman from Felicity? Was on that show. Very popular.
Sure.
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
Yes. 36 years old today. Gloria Stefan is 54. Dr. Phil turns 61 years old today. Barry Gibb, one of the last remaining members of the Bee Gees.
Mm.
It's rough, man.
No, it's not.
There goes my hopes for a Bee Gee reunion concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just him and Robin, right?
That's right.
Left? Yeah.
Morris care. And you know Andy, who occasionally performed.
They're gone.
So it's two gone, two left.
No one cares.
Yeah.
And we were making fun of Barry Gibb's hair because he does look like Chewbacca. But, yes. I mean, he's – how old did you say he was?
65 years old today.
At 65 years old, nobody should be walking around with a lion's mane.
No.
What's he doing?
Hair down to your shoulders is really not a 65-year-old
no.
look. It's not a good look, I think.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Wow. Kevin's turning on the BG talk.
I guess you won't be listening to our podcast, BG Mania.
That's correct.
That we do
interest in the Bee Gees.
And Lily Tomlin, comedian actress, she is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
We want to talk about the controversy that none of us even knew was going on until Ralph Garman brought it to us in the Showbiz Beat yesterday, and that is the backlash on the casting of Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. I didn't see this one coming. Did you guys?
Not a bit.
Nope.
Nope.
I don't know. I mean, there's a curiosity factor in Chaz because he is probably the most well-known transgendered person in the country. He, of course, was Chastity Bono, the only child of Sonny and Cher, and he got a sex change operation a few years ago, and now he is a dude and looks like a dude, and he's on Dancing with the Stars. But you should see the Dancing with the Stars Facebook page and the comments that are coming in from all over the country from people who are saying, I'm never going to watch this show again. It's no longer a family show. And I'm trying to wrap my head around what about having Chaz Bono dance makes it not a family show?
Because you are showing acceptance of people that you don't agree with.
It doesn't make sense, though. The response is as if this is a show called Chaz Bono Wants to Talk Your Children Into Getting a Sex Change.
That's easy to do, Kevin.
It doesn't even make sense.
It's easy to talk your kids into having
Absolutely.
A sex change operation.
I mean, you feel like a boy? No, you don't.
But I'm just saying that's the way they're reacting to it, when in reality, it's a stupid dance show that I don't watch because I don't care about dance. But do these people honestly think that by watching that, what, their kids are going to want a sex change?
Or maybe just not hate people who want a sex change?
I don't understand this.
I mean, look, you'd be a better person to address this than I am, Kevin, because I haven't raised kids past the age where they start learning about boys and girls. Would it have been confusing or upsetting to your kids if you were watching Dancing with the Stars when they were, 6 or 7 years old, if they made a reference on the TV to, this is Chaz Bono, he was born Chastity Bono, and then he had sex reassignment surgery, and now he's a man? Would that have been something that would have blown their minds or something that they wouldn't even have thought about?
I don't think they would have thought.
Because I think it would be confusing if I was a little kid and was hearing for the first time that you don't stay the sex that you're born. I think that would be confusing for me.
Okay. I don't think they're going to reference it.
They may not.
But very surprised.
If they do, it's just you have a little conversation with your kids, and that's it. I don't understand the whole, we need to keep our kids away from hearing about everything. You put them in some kind of protective bubble, and then they don't hear about anything. And then when they get set loose when they're in college, they go, hey, I didn't know about all this. This is fantastic. Why not just go ahead and just use it as a learning opportunity and move on? I don't understand this.
The other thing is, on that show, they dress so skimpy. Like, really?
That's the only good part about that show.
If you're really so worried about your kids, why are you letting them watch these women in these really low-cut tops and these really short skirts?
And very sexy dancing, too, in some cases.
They're practically making love.
Honestly, I don't understand. I really just don't get it.
Let me read a couple of the Facebook posts about the announcement of Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. And this will have to do until we can get some Kevin Amin listeners on the line at 1-800-520-1067. If you can fill in the blanks for what we're missing on why this is so upsetting that they would choose somebody to dance on a program who is a transgendered person. If you can tell us why you won't watch it anymore or why it's no longer a family show.
Or why you wouldn't let your kids watch it, even.
I'd love to hear from you, and we'll listen and we'll be nice, and we don't want to fight with anybody. But I am curious to hear. Here's some of the reactions from Facebook. A network boasts having Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. This is yet another example of liberal propaganda. The media morons push such perversion in our faces. Now, let me just pause right there. Are we pushing perversion in anyone's face because we have a guy dancing on a show who was born a girl? How is that pushing perversion at all? Where's the perverse part of that? What am I missing here?
Well, clearly that person thinks the sex reassignment surgery is perverted. But having said that, let's take that logically. Okay, let's just for the sake of example, it isn't, but let's just say it is.
Okay.
How are they pushing that on anyone?
We should be shunning them.
I don't understand.
We should be putting them all on an island, never to be seen or heard from.
It's so stupid. I don't understand.
We are treating them like real people, Lisa.
Yes,
that's true.
And that is all wrong. Right.
this Facebook poster goes on. All right, the media morons push such perversion in our faces. And here I love this. I love this conclusion that he has drawn. Next, NAMBLA will be pushing for the right to molest little boys. Because clearly, if you let Chaz Bono dance on Dancing with the Stars, you're supporting molesting little boys, Kevin, and that's clear here.
What is that? What sense does that make?
The liberals attack Christians while praising perverts. Is there any doubt that our nation is sick and in need of redemption? That's one caller. One Facebook poster. Janet on Facebook also. This is as sick as it gets. I cannot believe that TV keeps getting more and more corrupt. God said homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It is a story about a city that was destroyed because of all the sins, and homosexuality was named among the sins. Who's gay in this situation? Who's the gay person that is upsetting her so much?
Is there a point of view that you can have a sex change operation, but you're really not changing your sex? Is that the point of view?
Because Chaz is a man and will be dancing with a woman, which is very upsetting to a lot of people, and lives with a girl as his girlfriend, that means he's really a lesbian because in their minds they don't accept the sex change?
Yeah, I guess.
I honestly can't get my head around this. I really don't.
I think some of those people on that show have premarital sex.
Oh, Lisa.
What about that?
Bite your tongue.
Well, then, how are they watching? All right, one more. Again, your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We'd love to hear from you if you are outraged, if you won't watch, won't let your kids watch, or think it's wrong, or destroying the family-friendly values of the show by casting Chaz Bono. We definitely want to talk to you.
Especially if you're angry about it, about them accepting this.
Allison writes, if Chaz Bono is really in the cast for the new Dancing with the Stars, watching it live will no longer be an option. It will be recorded and I will fast forward through her or his dance. Will they give her or him a male or female partner? Disgusting. It is pretty disgusting to watch somebody dance. Oh. I have to be honest with you there. And it just goes on and on.
I can answer that.
There are hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm. I can answer that. Female dancer.
All right, people, who wants to start a petition online to boycott ABC and Dancing with the Stars? No Chaz Bono, says this fat woman on Facebook.
Yeah. All right, now, here's what happens. Every single time, and it's happened to us as well, and I'll give you the reaction from our company as well. Some people who are angry at whatever, any fill in the blank, they try to start a boycott. And then sponsors get a little skittish, they get a little scared, and they'll start pulling their money from the TV show. And then the TV show sort of has to give in because they're losing money now, and they have to get this person off the show. That's a bad, bad, bad trend.
They don't even wait for a sponsor to complain. They're so nervous that at the first little blip, they go.
So right. I'd like to suggest that we pay attention to who's advertising on Dancing with the Stars. And if somebody pulls out because of this, we boycott the sponsor that pulls out. Because
happy to do it.
That's what should be happening. When people who are idiots complain, they should be treated like people who are idiots that are complaining. And they're not. They're taken seriously now. That's what's changed. Yeah. There's always been complainers. What's changed is big companies take them seriously now.
Right. Well, there needs to be an awful lot more outrage on how fat Chaz is rather than how not a man Chaz is. I'll tell you that. 1-800-520-1067.
I'm going to want to gain a lot of weight because I see her dance. I'm sorry.
We will take a break. We'll come back with your calls. Brian, please hang on. Leanne, please hang on. We'll talk to you both and you too. Coming up next on The Kevin DeBee.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, and it's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Is that a mini stroke? Was it a little bit of a mini stroke right there, Kevin?
You okay? Last night at the Lincoln Park show, sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah, you can go to kevindeBean.com if you want to see Kevin's post and a lot of photos from the Lincoln Park charity show where they were raising money for Japan. That concert was last night at the Mayan Theater. All right, real quick, got a time for a couple of minutes of phone calls here. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your help today. A lot of people on the internet this week after the announcement of the Dancing with the Stars cast for the new season, outraged that Chaz Bono has been cast as a dancer. He is a transgendered person who is now going to make it impossible for many people to watch or enjoy the show because it's no longer family friendly. And I'm trying to get my head around what this is all about. We asked for your help, and let's start with Brian. Brian is on line one, and he joins us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Brian, thanks a lot for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Brian.
You know, I don't know. I think ABC, which is owned by Disney, does have a little bit of agenda going on with the a lot of gays in their TV shows. My wife watches All My Children. There's lesbians there. Modern Family, gay couple. Love the show. I don't have a problem with gays. I don't have a problem with any of that. But you guys are asking, you know, what's the problem with having a transgender on the show?
Right.
But why? Why do they have a transgender on the show? That is the question. Why?
Well, I can answer that. They do because they look for celebrities that people will be interested in seeing, and there is a fascination. I think there's a draw for people, especially older people who grew up with Chastity Bono, to see what he's all about now. I mean, I think they cast him for ratings. I don't think it's to make a statement. I think it's because they think it'll increase viewership.
Brian, let me ask you a question because this is what I don't understand. If you watch Modern Family, which I do too, and is very funny.
Yeah.
And that gay couple is
great
on there.
Show, yeah.
Okay. Is that somehow going to make me want another man? Like, that's what I don't get. I don't understand where the damage is done. I'm a heterosexual man, and I'll still be after I watch Modern Family.
I mean, is the point of view that there should be no gay people on TV?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think that at all. What I don't like is, like, if... I have a young daughter. She's not, you know, by any means, she's only 10 months, but she's not watching these shows at all. But if I had a 12, 13 year old daughter or a son that's watching that has been watching these shows,
right,
and then have to all of a sudden explain, well, hey, this, you know, this was a girl. Now it's a dude. I don't want to be the parent to have to explain why this has happened, because it's not.
But I don't understand.
It's not the normal thing to do.
You can't look at him and know he was a woman. So, pretty good chance it's not even going to come up.
Well,
Brian,
I know you guys are saying that.
What you should point out to your kids is, if you eat too much, you get fat.
Yeah, well,
that's the message.
I definitely agree with that.
All right.
Look, I think it will come up. I sort of understand where Brian's coming from. If you don't think you're capable of having that conversation or just want to avoid that conversation as long as possible, I do understand why people would have that concern. But I can also see the other side, which is, it's not going to be the focus. Dancing with the Stars is not an edgy show, except for the sexuality of the dancing and whatnot. I don't think that they're going to show Chaz making out with a girl and then show Chaz making out with a guy and then, you know, make him drop his pants. I don't think it's going to be graphic or anything like that. I think it's a passing mention as the biography of this dancer, just like they do packages on all the dancers. It's going to be pretty easy to get past and avoid, I think.
Right. But here's the other point. Let's say that you really do hate that. Okay, don't watch.
Turn it off.
Right. Well, that's what people are saying. The people who hate it are saying they're not going to watch.
Okay.
I don't understand why anybody hates it. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't either, but don't watch is the answer.
Let's try Cassandra. Cassandra is on line 4, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for holding on. What's going on, Cassandra?
Hi. First of all, my name is Cassandra.
Cassandra, sorry.
Everybody gets that wrong.
All right.
Maybe you're
pronouncing it wrong. You ever think about that? You ever think if it's everybody versus you, maybe you're wrong?
No. My parents spelled it phonetically with an O, an A.
With an O!
Okay. In that case, we are wrong.
All right.
Chaz Bono, fur or again?
Okay, I'm against it, but as far as the religious thing goes, I had a point that I was thinking that I could bring up maybe.
Okay.
I heard you guys talking about the people who were all like, talking about.
Are you high right now?
She is high.
No, sorry. Okay. I'm on a radio station.
All right, Cassandra with an L. Why don't you let me ask this question and see if this points you in the right direction. Are you, as a religious person, offended that a transgender is on Dancing with the Stars?
I personally am not offended because... Like, okay, I've gone to a Christian school all through high school and junior high, mm-hmm. and I absolutely abhor people that are just, like, psycho Christians.
Okay.
Hate it.
Okay. All right. You called because you have a problem with Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. I'm trying to get you to tell us why.
Because first of all, in the context, it's a family show.
Yes.
It's for a family to watch.
Or not.
Not like people who are just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is fine.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of
but,
it that way.
But tell me why it isn't still a family show just
why
because a guy's
are you
dancing.
Still asking her questions?
Yes, I haven't heard an answer. Why is it not a family show because Chaz Bono is dancing?
You're not going to hear an answer now either.
It's not a porno. It's Dancing with the Stars. Why is it no longer family because Chaz is on there? Isn't Carson Kressley way more offensive than Chaz Bono?
Because he was a woman and it's just awkward and now he's dancing with the woman and it's just
because he's a man
weird.
He's dancing with a woman.
What's happening? Honestly, like
I want to talk to Cassandra all day.
I
you want to kill us both is what
I
you
want to kill
do.
You both.
All right, Cassandra, a point very poorly made, but we appreciate the time and I wish we had time for more calls because we do have some great calls and I'm sorry we're not going to have Richard. It's an abomination. It's disgusting. All well right. So are you. Thanks for our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky realized he had 5 minutes in his schedule between taping his HLN show and his new Life Changers on CW. So he said, there must be a media outlet I can go on and talk. Dr. Drew, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
You guys are always so very kind to me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sending us in.
I know you were on hold. That's what she said. I know you were on hold. Did you happen to hear the end of our conversation about the Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars controversy, Doctor?
I heard a lot of the conversation. It really is just so stunning. And I love the way people can't even make a cohesive argument about why they're upset about it.
Well, but I don't think the people we talked to were the most persuasive.
But you guys are missing some of the high comedy in all this, which is that do you realize who the partner is for Chaz and who she has gone from to Chaz?
Yes. Yes. It's our girlfriend Lacey, right?
It's Lacey.
She has gone from Psycho Mike to Chaz Bono.
That's true.
Yes. Oh, no.
She is hating life.
No, I don't know. Who knows? Why are they trying so hard to get her to quit Dancing with the Stars? Didn't she do Steve-O before she did Psycho Mike?
She did.
They seem to be punishing her one season after the other. She must have been a bad girl. Especially the Psycho Mike casting. Yeah. I mean, what were they thinking?
I know. It's another way of saying, Lacey, you're never going to win Dancing with the Stars.
I feel so bad for poor Lacey. But by the way, I've actually done an interview over at HLN with Chaz, and he could not be a cooler guy. He is very comfortable in his skin. He absolutely is clear about his identity. He's just a great, very interesting person.
Do you think that people still believe that you can catch gayness or sex change?
There's this weird sort of need to marginalize certain people if somebody's different. We still have that sort of high school mentality, and it's very sad to see us sort of hunkering down to that kind of a primitive sort of an orientation, where if somebody is somehow different, they must be marginalized. If somebody's in a minority, we have to take their rights away from them. It really is rather kind of sad and extraordinary. Let me just finish real quick about something with Chaz, though, that really I thought was rather touching, was something that Cher said about him, which really kind of brought it home, even for me, and I kind of thought I understand these things, which is that she said, you know, I love being a woman. I wake up every day. I'm excited about it. I really enjoy about my life as being a woman. I could just imagine how awful it would be to wake up every morning and hate being a woman and want to be something else. That must be terribly painful. And for a mom to say something as clear as that, I thought that was a very nice message for people that are struggling to understand what this thing is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dr. Rupinski on the phone. Of course, the HLN show he referenced airs at 9 on CNN HLN, and then Life Changers begins September 19th on the CW all across this great country. Drew is also the co-host of the Loveline Show. Hey, I wanted to ask you about something else. I don't like to pit TV doctors against each other, but Dr. Phil is in the news right now, and I think this is a topic that you would certainly have some insight on.
Casey Anthony?
This is the hot sauce mom who was trying to get on his show. They were doing a show on angry mothers, and she contacted them, and they said, well, we'd like to see some, essentially they said, if I understand the story from Ralph correctly, we'd like to see some video of you being angry with your kids. So then she had her 10-year-old daughter filming her, making the kid take a super cold shower and feed them hot sauce as punishment. And it just, I mean, at some point people are saying, aren't you encouraging some sort of, you know, child endangerment by asking for this video for my show?
You know, I did a whole segment on this thing, and the consensus amongst the expert was that it was no, that she was already doing this. This apparently was a child with longstanding behavior problems. This was a mother who'd gone off the rail in terms of understanding how to parent this child. And that, in fact, what ended up happening is this mom, apparently, I'm hearing, got proper parenting training. And so it ended up having a net benefit for that mom, that this was an opportunity to give her the things that she needed, even though she had already and was documenting the fact that she had gone completely off the rail. And if you see that footage, it is some of the most painful footage to watch I've ever seen.
Now, Dr. Phil didn't play a good part in this, though, did he?
No, no, I'm saying he did. I'm sorry, you guys
by
want, you want me to
attack.
But you want me to go into that, but the okay. consensus is that it ended up, you know, it may have gone, you know, always, you know, we got to always worry that somehow encouraging people to be on television is going to encourage bad behavior. But in apparently in this case, it ended up having a net benefit for getting her what she needed.
I am shocked to hear that is the outcome of this, by the way. I
yeah.
really am.
Yeah.
And the other story that's been in the news since the last time we had you on, Dr. Drew, was the terrible story of the suicide of one of the members of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And
a
lot of people were quick to say, oh, that's reality TV's fault, too, because of the added pressure and blah, 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 blah. Look, you've had lots of experience with people on lots of different reality TV shows. Speak to that, if you could.
The only thing I know, you know, I don't only know my experience on the show I've done. And two, I guess I've been with Teen Mom, too. So I've involved in a couple of them. And that my experience has been, and it's much to my surprise, I must tell you, is that the cameras and the experience has added a what I can only describe as a net benefit for people that have really significant mental health needs for two reasons. One is they're sort of declaring in front of everybody that they've got a problem, they need help, and it motivates them to get help and to do well. And as they get help, they sort of want to share that transformation for other people because it's been so helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been my experience. So it's very hard. It may have been stressful to be on TV. It may, but you know, look, they were already really serious problems going on there. I mean, people,
does it make those problems worse first?
Someone has to actually study this to know for sure.
Okay.
It's not been my experience. These problems are already massive, and the question is: does it add some level of shame or some sort of pressure? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, these people strive to be on these programs. Most people don't seem to be bothered by some of the negative stuff that goes on in spite of it when it does. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
Well, Dr. Drew can't even imagine somebody not being comfortable being on television, though. Imagine how weird
thank,
that has got to be
that,
for
though.
Drew.
Thank you.
Last question for you, Doctor.
This is a nightmare morning for you because I'm being just as boring as your callers were with Chaz Bono.
No. I really wanted your input on all these stories. And I have one more, and this is a little more personal. You were in New York City for Hurricane Irene?
I was. I have triplets, and they're now 19, or almost 19, and I had to drop them all off at college all over the damn country. And one is in New York, and one is in New England, and I had to run in the hurricane from New York City, which was completely shut down, up to New England, and then back again.
Wait, you ran on foot?
No, I probably would have done it just about as well, frankly. But no, got a little rental car and headed, you know, sped up to New England.
Okay.
And it was, it's crazy. Kevin, how old are your kids now?
13.
Oh, so you got a ways to go before.
Yep.
I know your older daughter went to college. It's a pretty intense experience, and particularly going from 3 to 0, it was really something. It was really quite
And you know Mrs. Drew is going to be leaving you, right? You understand that that's happening now that you have to talk to one another.
You mean my workaholism can really kick in?
Yeah, exactly.
I like Lisa chiming in. Yeah.
Dr. Drew is the name of the HLN show. Weeknights at 9, Life Changers premieres Monday, September 19th. You get back-to-back shows in Los Angeles on the CW, by the way. Of course.
It's actually a really good show. In fact, I'm about to film a show that spun off of Loveline right about an hour where Erica, our mosaic hermaphrodite, is going to come on the program and we're going to do a little interesting things with
Isn't everybody
her.
That watches that going to want to be that, though?
Yeah, it's going to motivate people to become a mosaic hermaphrodite.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, I loved being questioned to you, which is, you know, you've got teenage kids. Are you worried that somehow looking at a heavy person or looking at a transsexual person, that is the most bizarre thinking on earth.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know.
I understand that you don't want that people that want people marginalized don't want them to be part of the mainstream and to be accepted. But to think that it's somehow going to motivate people to have a painful problem, a really painful problem.
People that wouldn't have otherwise.
No, it's crazy to think that way. That's not how people work.
Well, as long as we live in such a crazy world, Dr. Drew, there'll always be work for you, man. Thanks
Thank
for coming on the Kevin
I appreciate
show.
You guys. Take
Thank
care.
You. Brand new internet roundup coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph, you're going to love this one.
Nope.
It irritates the heck out of me that you guys keep referring to Chaz Bono as he or a guy. The bottom line is she is still a woman. Just because she cut off her thing doesn't mean she's not still what God made her. Come on, people.
Actually, she had a thing added.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
makes
she would have had a thing
makes
added.
Him
that's right.
Him.
Right.
So anyway, so
Idiot
quit calling
emailer.
Him a he, apparently, is what the comment is.
I was taking a test yesterday because I accidentally called him a her.
Right. And someone said that I was an idiot. And this is, I was spending the entire break supporting him.
Yeah.
Talking about him. And that was the one thing they picked out and said, you're a horrible person. I was like, you may have missed the larger point of that, of that conversation. I'm not saying, but maybe.
People do want to be offended. That is the goal when they turn on
regardless,
the radio or TV. Is,
how can I get hurt? In any
direction.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to happier news. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. At least I hope you got some good news for us. What's going on?
I got great news because it's one of my favorite times here on the Showbiz Beat.
Is that right?
It's when I get a chance to hassle the Huff.
Oh, it's time to hassle the Huff.
Huff.
News coming out of the UK that David Hasselhoff has been fired from Britain's Got Talent.
Yay!
He was a judge on America's Got Talent, and they thought he was not so good on that. Mm-hmm. So Simon Cowell, who was a judge over in Britain's Got Talent, left that show, so they hired him for Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
And now he has been axed, according to the Sun tabloid over there in the UK, after a rating slump this past season. The producers claimed he lacked sparkle as a judge on the show. Well, it's hard to sparkle when you're in the bag all the time. Just ask Kevin.
How dare you?
So no word on yet who will replace the Hoff on the British version. Britain's Got Talent, but we'll have to wait and see because those are big shoes to fill. That's a big liver to fill right there.
What's a guy like David Hasselhoff going to do with all this extra free time, do you think, Ralph?
And can you imagine how down in the dumps he must be?
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
Mm-hmm. None of those. Neither of those two things.
The best of us, if we got fired from job, might go home and pour ourselves a stiff one just to take the edge off. What's the Hoff pour when he gets home after he's been fired?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? He says, he's going to have one glass. He's going to have one glass of booze, and then he brings out like a fish tank and then just fills it and starts sipping. We'll talk to him tomorrow, I'm guessing.
Writing that down now?
I'm sure you were.
All right.
The Kardashians.
No.
Mom Kardashian seems to be quite the manipulator. First comes a story from Star Magazine that Kris thinks it's a good idea if Kendall, the 15-year-old daughter in that family, I guess she's not technically a Kardashian because she must be a Jenner because this is the daughter of Bruce and Kris.
So she's like half a daughter to these people, right?
Well, maybe she'll become a whole daughter if she gets famous, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
She's 15, a wannabe model, and Kris Jenner believes it would be a good idea if she were to date Justin Bieber. She's trying to put them together. So that her profile will be raised by being seen out in public with the Biebs.
She's brilliant. I'll bet no one else has ever thought of that.
So basically, she's trying to bust up the Biebs and...
Jelena, right.
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez, yeah.
Jelena.
So,
that's Justin and Selena. All celebrity couples have a name now. You know, ever since Brangelina,
it's
a thing.
F you for knowing it.
So we'll see how that works. Now we find out that Rob Kardashian has said today that Kris forced him to do Dancing with the Stars. He wasn't really interested, but his momager says you have to do it. So he said, she pretty much forced me to do the show. She did the same thing to Kim, and now she's doing it to me, he revealed.
Wow. And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier in the week, Ralph, so that Kris Jenner can be in the audience and be on TV.
She sure likes it. You know, she's subbing over there on The Talk.
Mm-hmm.
They fired two of the hosts of The Talk, and so Kris Jenner apparently is going to be one of the hosts on that show at least for a few weeks.
Until they realize that she's not going to let anyone else talk?
They realize she's not. She has no talent whatsoever.
Yeah.
But that's her ultimate, I think, goal is for her to be famous, whatever, with the kids.
She'll cut ties with all the kids if she gets famous.
Oh, trust me. They're all no-talent losers because Mom finally got a job. You see that video that Kim put up, her 30th birthday video that Kris, then Kardashian, did for herself where she singing I Love My Friends to the tune of I Love L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's pathetic.
It's pretty magic.
Yeah.
Been talked about, and now it's official. Bruce Willis has agreed to do another Die Hard movie. Die Hard 5?
5, yeah. Last one's 4.
Now it looks like they're almost hired a director. The guy who directed Max Payne, a guy named John Moore, apparently, is hired to do Die Hard 5. So they are well into production. We get our chance to see John McClane back at it again. And you're walking down the street. You got yourself a dog. Let's say you're Lisa and you're walking your boner.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you stop and Boner's got to do his business right there on the patch of grass.
Right.
And let's say you forgot your bag. Mm. Let's say you don't pick up.
Okay.
All right. Really, where's the harm? Where's the foul?
Well, it's considered
right
bad
there,
form.
Right there on the grass, yeah. I guess. It is the law, Lisa. You're right.
Bad form.
Lisa May, poop cop.
Totally would be.
Lisa May would. Here's one thing I know about Lisa. She would never do that. Lisa would never wash. She'd pick it up with her hands and put it in her purse before she'd leave
it. Lisa eats it. That's why.
I mean, croutons out of there.
Lisa eats it. We know that story. That.
Sprinkle it on my salad.
So that happens, and then someone starts yelling at you. And you wheel around, and it's Cloris Leachman. Actress Cloris Leachman is giving you a dressing down in front of everyone for not cleaning up after your pet. Apparently that happened.
I would say, who's yelling at me?
Apparently that happened. Yeah, you wouldn't know who Cloris Leachman was. But she saw a man leave his little dog buddy's droppings behind, and Cloris went off on the guy. Bystanders say gave him a big fat lecture, and then instructed him to go find a piece of newspaper and pick it up. The startled gentleman, they say, was smart enough to do exactly what she said to stop her from screaming at him. But Cloris Leachman, who stars on Raising Hope, telling someone how to handle their business. So
you better believe I'm DTF.
Yeah, she's DTF.
Yeah. She's like 80, right?
Yeah,
isn't she, Ralph?
She's 80.
But she doesn't look a day over 90.
Oh, come on, Kevin. She's fat, too? You think she's fat, too?
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh. Just Demi Lovato, right?
Why you got to bring that back?
Why you got to be like that? Why you got to come down on the Dempster?
Come on. Celebrity birthdays.
Here you go.
You're
in such a hurry. You're doing. Yeah,
I want you to put words in my mouth.
Yeah, okay.
Dr. Phil.
Segment.
Gloria Stefan.
How old's Dr. Phil?
He is 61, right?
All right.
Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees is 65.
Right, yeah.
Comedian Lily Tomlin is 72.
Oh, Lily Tomlin. Thanks, Tom Brokaw.
And Scott Speedman. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ in 9 minutes after nine.
We got to get Kevin some sleep. That's all there is to it. The Sound of Winter is a new song right there. The band is Bush. Yeah, same band that you remember from back in the day. They're back with a brand new album called The Sea of Memories coming out on September 13th. Of course, the super secret location tomorrow for Kevin and B listeners. We're going to be hanging out a pool party with Bush to kick off the Labor Day weekend. And I think, is this right, Kevin? We're doing this highlights of that performance and interview on Tuesday show, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be happening. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Time for a brand new internet roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Remember when we listened to the new Kim Kardashian song and we said, wow, that's bad.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And it was like Jam On It or Jam On Me or Let's Jam. It was something horrible, right?
I think it's just Jam.
Just Jam, okay.
And, but there's a teaser for the music video. And I'm about to tell you, this is the best song ever. based on the music video. A teaser video. I've never seen this before. They put up like 45 seconds or something of Kim singing the song. And okay. you listen to this. And it turns out you don't listen to the music at all, and it's great.
Okay. Well, is this the one where she's rolling around on the floor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Looking all wet.
You sound disappointed.
Well, you know what it says to me? I'm not taking my own music career seriously.
No,
that's what it says to me.
Sure, I have one thing that I need to sell, and that's sex.
Yeah. And she does it well. Okay.
Correct. Speaking of sex, there's a couple in a minivan, and they're driving down the freeway. Somebody pulls up next to them, and they get out the camera, and the wife and the husband, or the girlfriend and the boyfriend, whatever, are videotaping the couple in the minivan who are having sex. The guy's driving the minivan. He's looking forward.
Are you kidding?
The girl is looking backwards, and this is the conversation that goes on in the car next to him.
But how do you know we're getting the shot?
I'm totally getting the shot.
Okay.
Safe.
I see his, is that his hand or his foot?
Okay. I'm not looking. I'm going to watch the video. I'm going to watch the
I want to get her bouncing again.
Now, I don't understand why, but the girl wants to make sure that they get the video. The guy's not looking.
He's trying to drive. He's trying to drive, which is what you're supposed to do when you're driving.
But why is he also videotaping then? Why doesn't she videotape?
That's a great
Maybe
question.
Maybe because he's blocking her view.
He's just leaning on him now.
That's fine.
Oh, it's something because they look over and they see that they're being filmed and that's just okay with them. They just keep right on going.
Oh, my gosh.
And this guy, I mean, the guy in the minivan is, you know, waving and he's driving. He's having sex. He's doing it all at the same time, extremely casually. Doesn't seem like it's difficult for him at all. He's a consummate multitasker.
He's having a great time. Don Cheadle is Captain Planet.
Remember, turn off the faucet between usages and recycle those plastics. Or else, I'll turn you into a tree. Captain Planet, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's not having it. He starts turning everybody into trees. People that don't want to be turned into trees, he turns into trees. Turns cities into trees. It's pretty funny. It's a Funny or Die video.
Yeah, it's a pro-environment character, but it's on Funny or Die, so they kind of you enjoy the message because it's hilarious.
Now we put together a bunch of the Hurricane Katrina coverage.
Now, or Irene.
Irene, sorry. Irene, not funny. The damage, not funny. People that get hurt, not funny. However, there's a lot of coverage that's funny. And the first one is Spider-Man, who's on a beach, and the reporter is going to ask him questions about why he's dressed from head to toe in a Spider-Man costume while a hurricane is hitting that beach.
Tell me, Spider-Man, who are you in your real life, and why are you out here?
I'm out here to enjoy the surf today. It's just an ugly day, and I decided to wear something good and make people laugh. So they know it's not all bad today.
It's not all bad today. So she says, is it a good idea to be out here? And he says, no, it's not. This is a guy who's standing at a corner, and it's raining and windy, and he's, of course, right out in the middle of it. And a drunk woman walks up. He doesn't probably know that. So he starts asking her questions.
Hi. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm getting drunk tonight.
Okay, great.
The rain's really bad, and you should stay inside. If you know, you have nothing else to do.
Yeah, so he asks a couple of follow-ups, too, to the drunk girl.
She's really, really wasted.
I'm getting drunk. this is the Weather Channel. Now, what you need to know about this particular video is there are guys, I don't know, maybe three or four of them, pulling down their pants, you know, mooning the camera, jumping up and down while he's trying to do a serious piece on Hurricane Irene.
And we saw so much of this last weekend with the reporters out there trying to impress upon us how dangerous this storm was.
Yes.
And in almost every shot, there were tourists walking by, you know, carrying a drink, short sleeve shirts, just strolling. And these guys are out running. They're playing in it. I mean, how dangerous is it if these guys are out making a day of it?
They're playing in it, but they're really playing to the camera. And they're, you know, one guy pulls down his shorts and stuff, and you'll hear
No shortage of incredibly, I'll bite my tongue, people who've been coming out. We're talking about dozens of people who have walked by me. And to be honest, I'm pretty much speechless at what we've been seeing in terms of how many people have been driving around. People like what you see behind me, which I apologize for. I don't even want to show it. At this point, I don't even want to show you anymore how many people are out and about, how many cars are driving around. It's just setting a bad example.
You hear the guys yelling, "Woo!" it's funny because that guy's whole angle is, it's too dangerous to be out.
Yes.
That was his angle going into this.
Right.
And there's everyone's still out, and they're having a great time, and he's upset, but he's still sticking with the, hey, don't go out angle.
He's trying to find a way to spin it.
Correct.
Yeah, the whole thing didn't make any sense with thousands of members of the media saying, it's too dangerous. Please heed the governor's evacuation orders and get the hell out, while they're standing there in the middle of it.
Correct. This guy is covered in sea foam.
The waves are crashing up against the seawall. It's developing this foam. Excuse me, it's in my face as well. As you can imagine, it doesn't taste great.
Yeah.
But it has a sort of a sandy consistency to it.
All right, Muggs, say, that's not foam.
That's not foam?
Thank you.
There you go.
Right. It isn't, by the way.
And that's Dickie the Punchline Donkey.
Dickie the Punchline Donkey on the radio.
In the
morning.
FM.
And the final clip we have for you today, and there's a bunch more. You can go to kevinandbean.com for the internet roundup, and you can see all the videos that we posted. They always do this. They always send a guy into a wind tunnel, and then he shows us what 130 miles per hour sounds like. or feels like, mm-hmm. okay? He's in a wind tunnel. He's not outside. He's in a wind tunnel, and there's like a jet engine in front of him, and it's so loud that you can't hear a word he says, and they stick with it for 3 minutes?
74 miles an hour. I need these straps just to stand up.
Now it's gone from like 73 to 91. Do you think they cut away?
Do you think at all?
Do you think they cut away and go, hey, we can't hear him?
I hope so.
Nope.
That's good television.
Gets
right
up
there.
To like 120, and now literally you can't even tell that he's talking. Anyone butt in? Go, hey, we can't hear you. Nope. Best report ever.
Good job.
Best report ever. Go to KevinandBean.com for the internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean, the internet roundup.
Until we close our eyes for good.
Okay, that's over. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 941.
Hello. Check one. Checking
it's
one.
We're good.
Okay. Make sure. No one's in here. Everyone's gone. No, what's happening?
It's all good. We're good.
Is this show still on here?
I'm not positive.
Do we still have jobs?
I think so.
Okay.
We're one of those cars in a freeway chase where all four wheels have been shot out and we're just kind of limping along the side. It's only a matter of time before we give up. We haven't given up yet. I'm going to keep driving on my rims.
Pull over.
And people are going, why is he still going if he can't go faster?
Just pull to the side of the road, please.
And now we're completely out of gas. The only reason the car is still moving is just because we've got a tiny bit of inertia because we're going down a hill. But that's it. Yeah. At the end of the hill, it's clearly over, but we won't give it up.
I'm just going to get down on the ground with my hands behind my head.
Really?
I think it's time. It's time to give it up. I think so. All right. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for today's Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I surrender to the authorities, however, I am going to give away my final passes for Creature. This is the movie about some lovely young folks who are exploring the swamplands of the Louisiana Bayou, and they stumble across something they don't expect to find. I won't give it away. I won't tell you what it is that they find.
I'm guessing it's a creature.
Oh, spoiler alert!
It's the name.
Oh, I guess it is the name of the movie. Yeah. If you want to check it out, it's in theaters everywhere next Friday. However, you will get to see it before anyone else at the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Creature. That's happening on Thursday. So if you'd like to attend, and I promise you this movie will be filled with nudity, girl-on-girl action, and gore. So if those are the kind of things you look for in a film that you enjoy, I know they are for me. Yeah. Then call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First, I want to say two callers? Two? Is that what we have? Two. Two pairs of passes to give away.
I don't know. I'm down on the ground with my hands over my head just waiting for the handcuffs.
1-800-520. Back up to us. Back up. Keep your hands up. Walk to us backwards. Call now. While we're talking about movies today, on Video On Demand, you can check out a little film I like to call Red State.
You like to call it that?
I like to call it that, yeah.
Why?
Because the director told me to call it that.
That's the name of it.
Kevin Smith wrote and directed his first ever horror film. This is the next to last film for Kevin Smith. He's got one more in him, and then that's all over. So if you want to see Red State, you've heard us talking about it. It's available today for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be on video on demand. That means you can get it. You can download it from iTunes, YouTube, Amazon.com, the Blockbuster on demand. You can see it on DirecTV. You can see it on Dish Network. You can see it on Comcast Cable, Time Warner Cable, Cox Cable. So if you want to check it out, today's the first day of that.
We need an update for when the movie comes out on DVD.
Well, that will be in October. We'll talk more about it then, Kevin. But for right now...
Now you guys make... different... I guess you put a DVD in?
No, that's in October. This is video on demand. It's very different than a DVD.
Kevin's confused today. I don't know what's going on.
Very stuff I never said.
Very, very... You did say it. That's the magic editing of it. James Franco.
Yeah. Guilty.
And he hasn't been charged with anything. He was supposed to be on Broadway in a revival of a classic Tennessee Williams play called Sweet Bird of Youth. He was going to do it with Nicole Kidman. Well, he has backed out of it. He's decided not to be on Broadway because he's going to go on General Hospital.
For good?
Well, like, not for good, but
as a regular?
He's been on General Hospital before. He did an arc as a character on the soap opera.
Okay.
And apparently he is going back to work on General Hospital before going Broadway for a soap opera.
What's that about, as our friend Justin would say?
Fascinating career arc James Franco has created for himself. He's all over the place.
He
does big blockbuster movies. He does small independent films. He does soap operas. He hosts the Oscars. He's teaching. He's taking classes. He's an interesting cat.
And I don't know if this is heresy, because the hipsters seem to love James Franco, but he's not equally good at all of those things.
No, he's not.
Just because he does them all does not mean he excels at each of them.
Some things are better than others. Did you ever hear about the, he's an artist too, about the art exhibit he put on in New York?
No.
He did an art sale in New York where he was selling, along with other artists, the ideas of art versus actual art. So you'd go through this gallery and there'd be nothing hanging. There'd be just little cards with the description of what the idea of the art was. And then you would purchase the idea of the art.
And then did you paint it?
For example, one of the pieces of art was a breath of fresh air. Imagine yourself on a mountaintop. On a hot summer's day, but when you reach the mountain, a cool breeze comes along, and you can breathe in the fresh air of the forest.
Okay.
That was the idea. And they said, no one can ever take that away from you, because whenever you need it, whenever you feel tense, you will have the idea of a fresh breeze coming past your face and into your lungs as you breathe in the fresh mountain air.
So there was no painting, ever.
No painting, no. No, right. It was the
just
idea.
Just a little card that you hung on the wall where your painting would go if it were real, right?
Right, yeah.
And he got money for that?
He got $60,000 for that idea.
He's a genius!
I know, he's the best.
He is a genius!
He's the greatest man who's ever lived, is what he is.
Wow!
We need to open the Kevin and Bean Art Gallery and just start selling ideas of art.
Would you like Anna Kournikova nude? Well, now's
yes.
Your chance.
No one will be able to take that away from your mind's eye when you have Anna Kournikova nude just for $75,000.
Imagine what that would be worth. That'd be great.
Be the best.
He's a genius.
While we're talking about creative geniuses, do you remember Madonna's sex book? This was the coffee table book she put out many years ago, featuring her in very provocative photos.
Yeah.
With other attractive people in various states of undress and sexuality. And it became a big deal at the time. It was sort of a racy book that became a very hot topic.
Well, because remember what a huge star she was at the time. And to have a megalist A-star posing, hitchhiking naked. I mean, it was just, it was crazy the stuff that was in that book.
1992 was when it was first published.
Okay.
It has officially been named by Bookfinder, which is a website that you go on when you're looking for out-of-print books, for people who are book collectors trying to find things out of book. It is the most sought-after out-of-print book in the world.
Really?
Yes. That's the one people try to find to this day more than any other out-of-print book. And there's some big out-of-print books. I mean, Stephen King has a book, the first one he ever wrote under his Richard Bachman nom de plume when he's changed his name and wrote some other books. That first book is out of print. People are dying to find that. Johnny Cash's autobiography has been out of print. Books by Carl Sagan, Ray Bradbury. I mean, there's a lot of big authors on this list, but her book is apparently the most sought after out of print book in America.
People want to see pictures of her being naked with Vanilla Ice, which is also in that book.
Oh, that's what I want. I want to see Vanilla Ice and Madonna naked more than anything.
And it's also when she looked better.
She looked great in that book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. But it was very sexy for its time, and people are still trying to find it.
I have a copy, by the way, Rob.
What?
Should I be eBaying that bitch right now? Really?
I think
sounds like now's the time.
I believe it goes for hundreds of dollars on eBay.
eBay that bitch, as Bean says.
That is my plan, then.
eBay that bitch.
Yes,
you are OG.
I'm hardcore.
Oh, you're so weak.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
No, you are a robot. And poor David Hasselhoff, he's looking for work.
What?
Yeah. Hasselhoff has been fired from Britain's Got Talent.
Do they not know who he is?
I believe that's the problem. They do know who he is, and that's why he lost his job. He was sort of a big star over there in England when he took on the job of Britain's Got Talent judge. He got his own lollipop. They call them lollies in the UK, but like a popsicle, his own hopsicle. That was a big seller for a while. He's been performing as Captain Hook in many productions of Peter Pan over there. I think he's doing it again this Christmas. Very popular performer. But ratings have slumped since he joined as the judge, and now they are giving him the axe and bringing someone else.
This is a mess.
Oh, poor Hoff. He's going to be upset.
Nah.
You think he self-medicates when he gets upset?
I don't think so.
And in the Celebrity Baby Brigade, congratulations to Alyssa Milano.
Her and her husband, David Bugliari, have...
that makes me laugh every time I say that last name. Have a new baby boy in their life. Milo is his name. Congratulations. Robert Downey Jr. has announced he is also going to be a new dad at the tender age of 46. He and his wife, Susan, are expecting their first child together. And they are due in February is when we'll meet Robert and Susan's new baby. So I hope it's a boy so they can call him Sherlock.
Great. Or Robert Downey the Third.
No.
Sherlock's better.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lily Tomlin is 72 years old today. She's an actress and comedian of some note.
Naked?
No, she is not naked.
Good.
Barry Gibb. I have an odd piece of audio to have.
It's weird.
Barry Gibb of the Beach Jeez is 65.
Yes.
Any questions about Barry Gibb?
Naked?
No, he too is clothed, as far as I know. Dr. Phil, talk show host, is 61 years old.
Naked?
Nope. Gloria Estefan. She is 54 years old today. She looks pretty good for 54.
Actually, she does. Yeah. Especially for a woman who broke her back. She came back pretty well from that.
Yeah, that really affects your looks when you break your back.
Well, I'm saying she's not
have
all
a hump or anything. What do you think you're going to have?
She's not all hunched over. I'm just saying. She can still dance and stuff. That was a remarkable recovery from that kind of injury.
She's 54.
That's valuable input.
Thank you. For the naked.
I thought we covered Gloria Estefan already.
And Joe Troman, he's the guitarist for Fallout Boy. He's 27 years old today.
Naked?
No, he too is not naked. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We're going to talk to the CEO of Activision about a little game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Maybe you've heard of it. We also have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Elizabeth Banks.
Oh.
Talking about my idiot brother. Our idiot brother, sorry.
Yeah, let's talk about our idiot brother, shall we?
We're going to do that too, apparently. Bean has tape that he wants to play of me being
You're going to love it so much.
What?
You know how some days Kevin can't read anything?
Yes.
Well, it was one of those days, and the Kevin and Bean microphones were there.
It only happens on days with a Y in it, I've found.
Yes, right.
And LaQuisha takes a look at Jersey Shore. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.